prophecies of prophecies found in the Tanakh correlate with the birth, death, resurrection, and possible future of Israel. And they're getting down to the nitty-gritty. They're telling the truth. They're talking about the Moors. And I think Rama has something to say about that, too. And the Moorish call was a blockbuster this morning. Go ahead, Rama.
Oh, my God. They were talking about on NPR today, and I don't know where this went. I first was listening to Ring of Fire on a podcast. I can do that on the BlackBerry. And Bobby Kennedy and Mike Papantonio and David Bender yesterday on Ring of Fire were laying it out in lavender that all that is going on between Rome and the USA has to do with the fact that this is not B.C., it's A.D., 2010, maybe 2012. We don't know.
Oh, it's 2012.
And they messed with the calendar every which way but sideways. And I will just say that we are witnessing the final moments of this Leela, the divine Leela, where it has been said that Kalki Maitreya shows up as the 10th incarnation of Krishna with the energies of Lord Maitreya, and he's back with brass balls on. This is about peace and healing all the stories of anything but war. And Mike Papantonio was just laying it out in lavender, and I know that he has to fluctuate between the statutory venue and the common law venue. So does Bobby Kennedy Jr. in order to stay alive and get the word out. And what they were talking about was how close we are coming to this empire called Rome, yet it's in ruins, and all of these so-called elected officials, and they maybe are not elected, but bought, just like Bush Jr. bought the first election, and his daddy backed him
there
up.
There has been no government.
That's right.
It's just been a fake.
And they threatened the Supreme Court with civil war to the point where Mr. John Roberts, Mr. Alito, and Sandra Day O'Connor, Kennedy, I don't know where to go with the story let me finish.
This morning, Bill Moyers really got down on Roberts.
Yes.
And pinned it to him that they made corporations into a person.
That's right. And as Tom Hartman has always said, Walmart is not a person. And we're not going to go there. And this is why, as it has been said, we have to roll back the Reagan tax cuts to 1979, arrest, try, convict, and execute the war criminals called the Reagan, Bush, Clinton crime families.
And they were talking about it on Washington Week this morning, too.
That's right.
Saying clearly that the government is completely broken and it's time to do something about it.
I mean, Bobby Kennedy, Mike Papantonio, and David Bender all said Dick Cheney has completely outed himself to the point where the right folks with the right equipment will deal with him in the right perfect timing. And I don't know what that is. I also talked to Tom the Ringtailed Cat today, and he was talking about the issues going on. Ron Paul was picked at the CPAC convention as the next official that would run for president in 2012, and understand Ron Paul is one of the 14 members that wrote the Nassara bill into law, and he understands he has to wear both hats. This guy knows the process, yet he is caught by the stories about the Klan and about the other issues that have to do with immigration and the different deals that are made in smoke-filled rooms, sweetheart deals, as Dennis Kucinich calls them. And it is at the place where, you know, Mr. Eric Holder, as the Attorney General, has to arrest them now. And this is what David Bender said, and he's not holding him to it. He's just saying that if you don't do it, you're part of the conspiracy of the criminality.
He was up there on the Senate floor saying exactly that we're going to take some strong actions. I think Monday's going to look like a wild day in the neighborhood, everyone.
Yes, and what I was...
Because that health bill is back on the table first thing in the morning.
This is the biggest issue. David Bender said this along with Bobby Kennedy Jr., and he said, my uncle, his mission was to get universal health care to every single man, woman, and child on this planet. And in this country, and I am going to see to it that his wish is fulfilled right now. And he wasn't saying he was announcing his candidacy, but Bobby Kennedy may be the one that may be joining Mr. Obama, who is to say in 2012, we don't know. Could be Caroline Kennedy. All of these things are on a roulette wheel that are being played out right now. This is what Tom the Cat told me.
You also have to realize that there is not going to be any party system after the fact at all.
And they have to talk as if what is, until we have the next page turned. And
well, they're doing both, because they're also putting on, I said this late last night, the whole Kennedy assassination, and they're telling the truth now. That's on, let's see, where did that come
from? That was on the History Channel.
On the History Channel, right.
And there was a guy, he wrote a new book. It's been out for a year or two. Lamar Waldron with Tom Hartman, called The Long Shadow, the JFK assassination, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy Sr., and all the stories dealing with the issues of Fidel Castro, the mafia, the Vatican. This is why the Vatican's going down right now, because of the fake stories they created about the man with the plan and all the empires that were created since the time when a handful of the people called the Essenes spread the word.
Well, the first empire was the Catholic Church.
That's right.
That's the one.
They twisted the man's words and used it for empire instead of peace. This is what Tom the Cat told me today. He said, as I am a member of the crew on the New Jerusalem, I stand beside this man, Sananda Kumara. And he said, there will be peace on planet Earth, and I will see to it that it is done now. And also they talked about the whole black farmer story going all the way back to the Emancipation Proclamation, and how the Moorish nation gave the money to Mr. Lincoln, and the Collins family, aka what was her name, that lady that
his wife was part of Abraham Lincoln's wife was part of
Mary Todd.
She was part of the Collins
family. And the Collins family are directly connected with the elder dragons that come from Dracos. They are the oldest of the 13 families, and it's...
And they have more power than the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers ever did put together.
And this
they had.
They are directly descendants of the Anunnaki Elohim, the Nephilim, and... This in particular is an issue that has to do with Tom the Cat, where he is making sure that these ones face the Solar Tribunal at this time, along with the King of Swords and all these other folks. And it's interesting, today on NPR, they brought this up, the Bergevin Fund, the farm claims, the lawsuits that were in Colorado dealing with the black farmers versus the IRS, the Federal Reserve, and the federal government. And these folks on NPR were just saying it's time now to pay it forward and heal this issue once and for all. And who was to do it but the Syrian commander right there sitting in the office?
Well, he's going to get a little help from Lady Master
Nada.
Nada, yes.
And
that goes along with the Moorish call this morning. They are a matriarchy. The Washita Nation is formed as a matriarchy where you don't deal with corporations, you deal with cooperations. A new term, everyone. You can form yourself a cooperation. And Reverend Jamal, or Brother Jamal, pointed out that commonwealths were nothing but slave counties, slave places. I know we didn't learn enough when we were working with Sharon Reynolds, and it's a good thing she dissolved the commonwealth because it was attached to the wrong place.
The wrong venue.
History, completely. And so, again, when we see what Mary is doing, she's not doing the corporate path either. She's dealing with the common law, which brings us back to the matriarchy and mother. And that brings up another piece of information, and that is that Mother, Michael, Maitreya, and Metatron are the four musketeers. They are the only ones that hold diplomatic immunity in our civilization's development. And every other being answers to Mother first as the creation chamber. You might say the goddess, the head of the matriarchy. And this is a feminine creation. And this is what has to be brought into balance right now. And so the language that we're learning on how to state who we are and how to know which court we can be in, the Washita Nation is established. And you can actually declare your sovereignty within their court system.
That's right.
Which has nothing to do with kangaroo court system that we're all dealing with. And when you file your UCC papers, then you have authority. And you do not need to go to that kangaroo court either.
And they have to recognize it. The feds, or this so-called fed, has to recognize the Washita Nation as it is a, you know, lawfully created, it is what it is, the people of the land. When the land prospers, the people prosper. And
that has to go with Barack, too. Barack Obama is the ninth member of the Council of Nine on Sirius.
Right.
And contrary to the belief of some of the Syrian command, the Council of Nine and Lord Orion and Nessa-el-Ra and Syria are all answer to Mother.
That's
nobody
right.
Nobody else. And Mother co-creates with Metatron, Michael, and Maitreya.
And the Council of Orion. We're all in this together. It's not one selective group.
On the eighth ray, there's a pink and gold vibration on the eighth ray, and the pink vibration is Lord Orion, and the gold vibration is Lord Maitreya.
Right.
And they are the ones that represent the end of polarity, because Lord Orion was in charge of, you might say, overseeing the whole period of the Orion War, which hasn't ended until it ends right now. These reptilian renegades are still part of the Orion War. and they still are intending to have another 100 years of this war. And I am just saying that that is where Lord Orion, he's got the power to end that, and Lord Maitreya has the power to do it with him. He represents the dark side of the force in terms of the light being that supervises. And Maitreya represents the light side of the force that makes sure to collaborate with Orion, Lord Orion. And that's what we do when we remember the power of the positive thought. Lord Orion always remains neutral. Lord Maitreya always remains neutral. And they collaborate in a cooperation. And so, as above, so below. The cooperation of the law of the one now is what we're in. In other words, our polarity energy is becoming androgynous by our knowledge of how to use the power of the positive thought when we transfer the power now back to the people. And we're going to have to spend some time managing that. Those of us who have gone ahead with our ascension process and have come to be more aware as a result of making good use of our higher self as we are the Godhead at that higher self level, we have responsibility. The more we understand, the more responsibility we have to share our understanding and to facilitate and to teach only love. And that's really the order of the day.
This is what was being said by these NPR folks who, I mean, since things have turned around, since Obama got in, I mean, there is a shift in the news, even though Fox News is still out there doing what it's doing. But NPR is coming back and following, you know, guideline sort of along the lines of what Amy reports, stories that are not in the mainstream, which is really awesome. And what my understanding is that as this is unfolding, these are the ones that where we said, you know, tell us how this happened, how we got to this place, and the stories are beginning to come out. And I firmly believe, like on Friday, they had that 9/11, or Thursday, and all of it has to come forward. This is why there is a fake war.
All of it is coming forward, which is what the shift is. The shift in the news is that all the truth, the most important stories are pushing forward right now.
Yeah, I it's like overflowing where the whistleblowers are lining up, patiently waiting to take their turn in front of the camera to say, look at what I witnessed. 2 billion people gone from Earth because of this group of folks called the Nephilim Elohim, who decided that they were going to be masters of the universe. And Mother Maitreya, Metatron, and Michael said, I don't think so. You didn't get this cleared with Galactic Central. And I have to say that as the final four musketeers, they hold diplomatic immunity within this polar universe. It is the fabric, the crazy glue that holds it together. As that crazy glue is not there, what do we have? But it's called chaos. Out of chaos comes order. And Mother does that with Alcyone, where she dissolves one universe and creates another. And some people describe it as a Big Bang theory. I wouldn't describe it as that. It's a very orderly process of ecstatic love and joy, and I'll pass the talking stick because I'm rambling at this point.
Okay, I'll take the talking stick, please.
You have it.
Hi, everybody. I want to talk about what happened on Galactic Roundtable the last few days. You know, we saw a vision for Galactic Roundtable to be a social forum where all of us who are in this together could come together and share. And I think we've done an okay job so far with doing that. You know, we share videos, we share music, we're able to bring the news. We bring some channeling from other places, and we bring channeling from us. And we also have a place where people can share their spiritual services and tell everybody what they're doing in their lives, where they live. And we have the chat. And so there's a couple thousand members, more than that. And so I've laid down some guidelines. I just want everybody to know that, you know, if they send an email to Galactic Roundtable Administration, the email comes to me. I see it. There is nobody else on that email account. And I also have my email there as well. And there's been some complaints about how I've been running things, you know. There have been some people who were deleted, and it turns out that they were deleted through a glitch in Gmail, and we're not sure if it was Gmail or Ning, but the person who it happened to said it wasn't my fault at all. But before, it took about 9 days before that person figured out it wasn't my fault and I hadn't deleted them. And in those 9 days, it went out there that I had taken this beloved family member and deleted them, and everybody was mad at me. And I didn't even know what had happened. And so this made some uneasiness for a lot of people, and I completely understand, but some jumped to the conclusion that I had done the deleting, and I hadn't. I didn't know anything about it. And there's been, I just want everybody to know that, you know, there's a reason why we're here doing these calls. Tara and Rama and I, we receive information from Faction 3, which is 38 levels above the president, and we are assigned with the work of getting the word out there. Tara shares the history, Rama shares the news, and I help with the communications and giving everybody a place to go. And I have to tell you, if you have to understand, I host whistleblowers on the site, and I'm given articles from Faction 3 that are scathing to the other side. And I post everything fearlessly. And I lay my face out there and my name. And I do this because we all deserve to have freedom. And in doing that, there are some out there who really don't want this word to go out. And so they come as shills on the site. And then they post a forum that breaks all the rules, and the only purpose is to try to do something that's going to keep me from my work or upset me or knock me off my center so I can't keep going. And there's so much more of the big picture you all don't see that, you know, I receive threats and much more that you're not aware of, and I don't share that, and I can't. So, you know, I want to go back to stating that we have rules on the Galactic Roundtable. We have to all treat each other with respect. And the whole point of the forum is to give everybody a place to say how you're feeling, what you're experiencing with Ascension, what you saw in the sky last night, or what your experience has been with meditation, or a cool, neat channeling that you saw that didn't hit the blog. And there's a lot of good sharing there. And it wouldn't be fair to take the forum down. It really wouldn't be fair. And so if I see a post that breaks the rules and does not follow the law of one, I'm going to delete it without explanation, you may or may not get an email from me. And there's a statement on the front of the Galactic Roundtable that says, I delete for several different reasons, and you may or may not hear from me why I deleted you. Some people are saying when they see that happen, it hurts their feelings. Well, unfortunately, there's only 24 hours in a day. And if I sent every email to every person explaining every little reason for everything, it would take me away from my work. It wouldn't give me time to look up the news. I can't moderate the site that way, and I can't ask anyone else to make these decisions for me. I have to represent me because I'm the one putting out the Faction 3 news. I'm the one responsible for what I'm putting out. And so I'm going to keep going with, if it doesn't fit Faction 3, if it's not positive and if it's not loving, it's going to get deleted. End of discussion. And if that's not diplomatic enough, I apologize. There's just not enough time in the day. I have to make a choice if I'm going to do the work or if I'm going to try to please a bunch of different people. And I'm not going to guess at who's who because I know that there are shills that come to the site on purpose to tear the family apart and to make everybody upset. And I don't find that acceptable. And so I'm going to continue my practice of deleting without explanation and understand that you're not seeing everything behind the scenes. And the last thing I want to say is, you know, you guys, these calls are for you. I can lurk during the calls, and I can see you guys are discussing what's going on the program, but I'm not seeing you call in, you know? One thing we say at Galactic Roundtable are there are no gurus here. This is the Galactic Roundtable. If you want it to be better, get on the phone, dial the number, and tell us what you want. We're here for you. We will pass the talking stick. Everybody has a chance. This is for you. So we're bringing the news from Faction 3, and so we're working within these parameters of loving everyone and giving everyone a fair chance. So if you have anything to say at all, please call us. The number is 415-762-1161. I don't know what else I can say. We did have a caller. Is Lynn still there, Dawn?
Yeah.
Lynn, hi.
Hi, Beth. This is Lynn from Michigan. I called last Sunday. I just wanted to say how much I love you guys and appreciate so intensely what you guys are doing. You're practicing courage of the heart, and it's just a blessing to us all. So I'm just calling to give you guys a big thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
If we're completely done with the news and we don't have any callers, then what I'd like to do now, before we start the rest of the call, is raise the vibration a little. There's a meditation I'd like to do.
You have the talking stick, Lady Master.
Thank you. All right, everybody, if you were here yesterday listening to the history, then we were talking about Bobby Hemmett. He's a dynamic speaker, and he was talking about the melatonin and the serotonin, and he said serotonin plus melatonin equals melanin. And sometimes you hear us talking about ormes, which is the gold. Oh, my, Karen from the Netherlands. Hello.
Hello? Hello,
Karen,
Beth?
I love you, Karen. How are you?
Hi there.
I love you, too, all of you. Tara, Rama, Marita, and Beth. I just want to say I think this is really fantastic. I've been listening to the show since last year of May, and I'm really glad you're all there for us. I know it's a pretty hard job to do, but I want to share something with you. Can
Please.
I do that?
Please, yes.
I'm a little bit nervous, and I want to say to everybody on the chat, hello. Here it goes. Last night you were talking about Commander Soltek and Angel Michael, if I'm correct. And he said, one of the two said, try to remember where you were on 9/11. Is
yes.
that correct, Beth?
That is correct.
Okay. A few months ago, I sent you an email with telling you about my
birthday. Yes, I never got to it. So tell Tara now, Karen.
Okay, and are you hearing me loud and clear? Because I can't hear you good enough, Beth.
I hear you loud and clear, Karen.
Okay, fantastic. Tara, this is for you. I just want to say I always want to listen to your voice because I think it's fantastic that you teach us such great things. My birthday is on 9/11.
Oh.
And not oh. everybody on the call, their birthday is 9/11, of course. So when Beth said this last night, I thought, well, I'm going to call in and tell everybody my birthday is on 9/11 because I know where I was at that moment. I was driving to the judo school where my son is on the sports, martial arts. And, well, I picked up my son, and I drove back home, and my sister called, and she said, Karen, you have to put on your television now because there are some terrible things happening in the United States. So I put on my TV, and I saw the plane flying into the building. All day on my birthday, the TV was on, and I finished my birthday with white images all the time, over and over again, and couldn't believe it was happening like this.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say this for a long time to you, Tara. And there's something other special thing about my birthday. When I told my mother I was going to send you an email, my mother told me, Karen, don't forget to tell Tara that when she got married the second time, my mother, she married in the United States with an American husband, and she married on my birthday, 9/11, 1971.
Mm.
Oh, I'm sorry, 1970. And I thought that was pretty special.
Now, wait a minute.
This
did
is what
you
I wanted to share
you
with you.
Were you born in 1970? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I was born 9/11/1965.
Okay.
And my mother married the second time, 9/11 on my birthday, 1970. Mm-hmm. And there's something else, Tara. It's really getting crazy. I'm going to the United States 27 of April, and my mother told me again, well, Karen, there's something I have to tell you again. When she flew to the United States to get married, she landed on 27th of April, 1970. And for me, it's the first time I'm going to the United States by myself. So it's 40 years ago, and everything is going around in, how do you call it, circles? Of it's coming back to me.
Wow.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I'm just speechless listening.
Bless you for your mission, Lady Master.
Well,
let
me look at your birth date because 9, and you never break an 11 down. So you got a 9 and an 11, and then you've got 19, and 65 is another 11.
Whoa.
So you've got 9, 11, 10, 11. What is this? So you can add.
Okay.
And then you can add the 10 plus the 9, and you've got 19, and that's the number of the Baha'i faith. It's the number of the Baha'i faith. And the reason for the Baha'i faith choosing that number is it's the number of completion of love and back to the law of the one. So your mission is not limited. It's unlimited. And in your mission, you came in here to bring the law of the one back to earth, and that's your mission. It's however you creatively decide to live it. You can't get around it. So high, so low, you can't get over it. The Baha'i faith, they believe in integrative marriage. They believe in all the colors of the rainbow intermarrying so that they can, again, remember their heritage and all the merging of those heritages back to the common one, the common law of the one. The common law of the one is the law of the matriarchy. And so what are you doing here? You're here to bring the feminine into balance with the masculine again.
The goddess.
The active principle together with the passive principle and knowing when to use each one. I hear all
fantastic.
I hear all these echoing in the background. Is that the
Tara, wait a second. I have to put something out. Wait a second.
Oh, okay.
And now it's gone?
Yeah, it's gone now. I see. Yes. It's just like getting on the air, because we are on the air.
I'm so sorry for this.
No, don't be sorry. I'm just seeing here, you've got a 9, 11, 11, plus 1. I mean, and 1 and 9 are both the feminine in terms of the numerical coding. The number 9 is equal to the number 1. The number 1 is love, the divine love of the law of the one. The love is how to use masculine and feminine, active and passive, in balance. And to use it with 13 hertz. 13 hertz is ground point zero. And that's what it means to be 3-in-1 God. Yeah, you are the 3-in-1 goddess. And God and goddess mean the same thing. They mean divine feminine coming before, and how you come before is in a passive way. You're in a receptive mode, you might say. You have the opening to receive the seed for new life to be created on earth. And that is the law of surrender. And the one thing that we asked the King of Swords 20 years ago, we said, what will be the final moment and what will we need to be doing at that time? And he said, be in surrender. What does that mean? It means be in the receptive mode of the highest possibility of love that you could imagine you could hold, and then expect a whole lot more than that, and you can't imagine it. That's what you get to do every split second of your life, Lady Master. I hope you're doing well with that one, because that's what leads. That's what leads us. That is leadership in action. That is what we call the active principle. Once we receive the seed of the knowledge of the truth, which is the knowledge of who we are, because all seeds comply with the receptivity to love. That's the only way that seeds can grow. And, of course, the way that you give love to a seed that you plant in the garden is the first thing you do is you let it be in a place where it can get the proper sunshine. What does that mean? It sheds light. It needs to be shed light upon. Light of the knowledge of the truth. And then the second thing you do is you water it. you water it with the motion, E hyphen motion. The sound of E is the sound of the active principle. So once you receive the seed of the knowledge of the truth, then you are going to activate it. You're going to activate it with love, which is watering it, and with light, which is shedding sunshine, which is shedding the knowledge of your presence, being a witnessing to the truth, actually. You don't have to say anything with a plant. You can just be with the plant, and the plant understands automatically because the plant has been received by the mother. The first thing to do is to make sure to be received by the mother. And then you can only then nurture. And once you've received the mother and are received by the mother, then you can do both active and passive in balance, meaning that God and goddess is preceded by goddess. That's a pretty wild statement. The Father, the Son, and the Shekinah. Well, the Father is the Mother. The Mother always precedes the Father. You don't have a willing place to be able to plant your seed unless you have the Mother first. So you, as a female form that you chose to demonstrate the agreement that you made to come in when the planets were exactly where they were on that day. My goodness. And I'll tell you what, there was a 38-year period, another 11, see. And it started in 1963 on November 22nd. Now you got an 11 and a double 11 there to make a 22, so you got a 33 right there. On a 33-day, 11, 22, and I guess the year was 1963, so what's that? 6 and 3 is 9 plus 19. 19 and 9 is 28. 8 and 2 is 10. So you've got a 33 plus 1. And a 33 plus 1 is the law of alchemy, the law of 7. 33 is the master path completed at the third level, which means you've mastered both the first, second, and third creation. And we have been in the first, second, and third creation always. Yet when you have mastery, that means that the always comes back. And the memory is complete. And when the memory is complete and you love it all, then love is complete. And when you've done that, then the seed has flowered, the blossom of your mission. And when one is harmed, all are harmed. And when one is helped, all are helped. So what a mission. You sure were clever, Lady Master. You decided to be the mission for everyone. So we have passed our test, and that's interesting because your government has collapsed.
Yes, I know.
That's great. That's what you wanted because it was fake. The whole thing was a big dog and pony show. So
right.
Your mission is now our command, and the Netherlands are one of the top families. I just wonder if they're connected with the Collins family.
Queen Beatrice.
Well, Tara,
yeah.
I'll be waiting for everybody here over in Den Haag if they come. And if that happens, I will gladly call you all again.
Well,
because Den Haag
is
in the Netherlands, of course.
You're going to be witnessing all these 100,000 criminals getting executed over there, right in The Hague, right in your back door. So you also need to realize how powerful that is for you with that kind of mission that you hold. And you're joined here with this goodly company family here in that endeavor. That means all of us are sending love to that situation in your country right now. And, of course, I just believe that your royals over there are having a royal tizzy fit right now.
Yes.
To say the least.
You're so funny, Tara.
Yes, and the other part of that is that they are very scared.
Because their crimes got exposed.
Yes, and I knew that they were about to go because they were all sitting there in Norway with the other royals when Barack Obama received his Nobel Peace Prize. And I went, look at those long faces on all those women. It's the women.
They look so sad.
Oh, my gosh. These women, that wasn't their role, and it was probably the most miserable of lifetimes this lifetime. Yet the courage in their soul can be brought to bear as we send them love. They can find courage when they have love to work with.
And if they got gold dust in their life,
well,
it changes their reality.
You're losing your voice, Rama.
Oh, I was just having a moment there. I mean... just the energies, I'm just saying that as these ones heal in their emotions, the royal families, they can come back to wholeness, and that is that is my wish. I pass the talking stick.
Mm-hmm. Me as well.
Well, Tara,
yes.
And Beth, and Rama, and Mark, of course, who is not there at the moment, I want to thank you all very, very much from the bottom of my heart. I have tears in my eyes and a really big, big smile on my face. And I want to thank everybody on the chat who is always there for me when I attend the calls at night. I set my alarm clock at 3 a.m. and I go and listen to you all. Because if I don't listen one time, I'm feeling I'm not with my family at that time. So sometimes I fall asleep during the call. I'm sorry
You're
for
such
that,
a
but
dear.
Hey, that's the time zone. Beg your pardon?
You are such a dear, Karen, and it's a delightful surprise to hear your voice today. And I love you.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Beth. Thank you. And I think there are more people on the call today for you. So I'm going to hang up now from the Netherlands. And I hope to wish to talk to you some other time with a good question.
Wonderful.
Okay?
Blessings, Karen. Thank you.
Namaste.
Okay. Blessings back to you. Okay,
Hi.
Bye-bye.
It's time to dance, bye-bye. Karen.
I'm dancing already.
Oh, good.
Bye.
Bye.
Frank from New York, line two.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hello? Great. I've been listening to your show for about maybe a month and a half, and I really love your show, and I just want to thank you for producing this show. And I have a question. I don't know if it's the right kind of question, if I could ask this. Hello?
Go right ahead. Go right ahead,
oh,
please. Right.
Well, it started to back in around November. I was just watching a YouTube video. And it said how to feel your chi energy in like less than 30 seconds. And so I did this thing with my hand, and I felt it. And I had done it to my brother, my friend, and my cousin, and they didn't feel it. So I thought I was nuts for a moment, but I kept doing it. And so then one day I started pulling it away, and because I wasn't sure if it was my body heat that I was feeling. And I did it in front of a fan. I did it in front of an air conditioner. I pulled my hand away, and it was like 15, 20 inches apart, and I was still feeling this energy. And then I took a 600-page book, set it up vertically, and had my hands about 12 inches on each side of it, and I still felt it through the book. So then I'm like, all right, I'm not nuts. So then I went to the health food store, and I saw an ad for a Qigong class. And in this class, you know, I learned more about this energy. But I met someone in there who also goes to a metaphysical church where there's a lot of mediums, and she's very sensitive with energy. And she, you know, she's a Reiki master and things like that. And so my question is maybe 6 months ago, I would have thought all of this was nuts until I felt this with my hand. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading like crazy and watching all these videos and trying to learn as much as I can about the concept, you know, consciousness and how it's everything and energy and all these gifts that people have. And I want to know if you know, like, I want to raise my vibration. I want to know if I can open some gifts, or mainly it's guidance that I want out of it, or some sort of communication. Because have you ever heard of Thomas Campbell?
Yes.
And, well, he says some great things that he experienced through an out-of-body experience. And so I was wondering what kind of advice you have for someone to raise their energy who's very new to this.
I pass the talking stick to you, Beth.
Well, hi, Frank. Frank, hi. Can I ask you a personal question? What town are you from?
Town? Well, I'm in New York, and I'm in Massapequa right now.
You sound like home. I grew up in Long Beach.
Oh, wow.
You're my people.
That's pretty close.
Okay.
I grew up in Belmore.
So we probably competed against each other close enough anyway. It's good to hear from you, Frank. I have some advice for you.
Yes.
Well, first of all, on today on this call, we're going to do an attunement to higher energies. And if you just sit there and close your eyes while we're doing this, that's actually, if you allow the energy into your body, all you have to do is passively sit there. Your energies are going to automatically be raised. And I'm doing that because I'm able to attune to the energies and bring these higher energies in and affect anyone who's listening and invites it in. Because we all want to raise our energies now. So that's one of the things we're doing today. And then when you're on your own, then it's important to spend time alone, just with yourself every single day. And we say you should meditate, but, you know, there's a lot of different ways to meditate. You know, when you go for a walk on the beach and you're looking at the sun and watching the seagulls, you can be talking to yourself in your mind and get into this peaceful place where you're just being one with you and your higher self. And getting into that energy every single day is important. So there's a lot of different ways you can meditate. You can meditate by getting in touch with some good music, you know. And you can also close your eyes and sit quietly in the chair. Or, you know, I meditate in the bathtub because the hot water acts as a gigantic way to make my body relax. And I'm able to go deeper when that hot water is, you know, soaking up everything. It helps me get deeply relaxed, and then I'm able to bypass, you know, all the chatter in the mind and really relax and meditate then. And all it means is just getting quiet. And if you listen to that inner voice inside, that's what you want to tune into, and that's what you want to listen to. And you can ask the inner voice inside questions. And it's easiest if you start out with yes and no questions, because you're going to get an accurate answer that you trust. And you can ask for guidance, and that's your higher presence speaking directly to you. And that's your best contact at first. And then later you may get guidance in other ways. The most important thing you can do is before you go to sleep at night, you can just say, you know, out loud when you're laying under the covers, or you can just say it in your mind. You can ask to be taken to the ships and be taken up for training, or you can go into the inner realms and go into the inner ashrams. Whatever you're comfortable with, they will...
You say the ships, do you mean people like the Pleiadians, or do you mean like angelic beings?
Well, the thing that we're not told very often is the angelic beings work on the ships. The angelic beings are the ones on the ships. And so when I talk about ships, the ships, you know, you could be talking about the New Jerusalem, or you could be talking about, I mean, there's so many ships out there right now. You can go to work with Lord Arcturus on his ship if you're interested in healing. Anyways, what you can ask for, ask your higher guidance to take you to the training that's most appropriate for you at this time. And then you'll know that you don't have to get specific about what you're asking for. You just have to tune in to what's the next step for you and your development.
Okay. Now you say to sit quiet and meditate on this. Now, have you ever heard of Esetti?
I have.
Okay. I forgot his name, James Gillian, I think is his name is.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
He talks about Kunlun, Neigong, and that practicing that is like 100 hours of meditation, 1 hour of that. What do you know about Kunlun? Does that help raise your energy more, or should I study things like Reiki, or should I just meditate and not worry about that? And also, what is your view on sun gazing, if you've heard of that?
I think I practice sun gazing every single day, and it helps me a lot to let that sunlight come into my third eye because it energizes everything. And I think it even allows me to eat less and eat lighter, which helps me with raise my energy as well. And I don't know about these practices. I've studied Reiki, all that stuff. It's all good. There's nothing wrong with it. What I would suggest is if you're hearing something or reading about something and your heart jumps in your chest and it sounds exciting, that's what you're supposed to do. So I would say the thing that's going to raise your vibration the greatest is the thing that makes your heart sing. So, you know, scan through these YouTube, scan through, you know, the channelings, read everything, and then follow what makes your heart sing. That's going to raise your vibration the highest. You know, I can endorse one thing or the other, but it doesn't matter because if it's not the right thing for the individual, it's just going to be ho-hum no matter how great it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And I also like to make music electronically on my computer. Does that have anything to do with raising vibration, the act of making music and playing music and liking it?
The cells in the human body are made of light and sound. And so when you're grooving on your computer with your music, and then that's, you can feel that you're raising your vibration when you're doing that.
Like that feeling you get when you hear a good song, you just want to tap your feet?
Yes, it's a meditation.
Like, okay.
Yeah, you're doing the right thing. I would stick with that as much as you can and force yourself to give yourself that 20 minutes every single day without fail to get on your computer and work with your music.
Okay.
Because consistency is one of the most important things there is.
Consistency. I'm not very consistent. Every now and then, like, I'll say at night, to my spirit of highest infinite good, and then I'll just talk out loud and things, but I don't have a name.
Absolutely right, Frank. And then when you get to the end of the conversation, say to that spirit, now, please take me for my night training. Please take me for my night training. Go in your dream time, and they'll train you at night.
Okay.
And that way you'll raise your vibration, and you'll be surprised because after a while you'll start to remember your night training. It's happening to people on the Galactic Roundtable. They're coming to me and saying, I remember. And they're coming to me saying they're getting new gifts now.
Who's getting the gifts?
You know, you were mentioning in the beginning when you had your question about how do I increase my frequency? I want to feel this energy, and I want to get, you know, I want to enhance the gifts I have. And I'm saying people on the Galactic Roundtable who stick with it and ask for their night training are coming back now and telling me, you know, that they're having these incredible experiences, that it worked. It's helping them.
Oh, really?
Yes. I encourage you guys to call in and tell us more about your experiences, because I'm telling you, I get these emails every day.
And I'll just say,
I will do this.
I'll just say, if I can squeeze in, is that I have no veil. I remember it. It's like going from daytime to nighttime, and I put on another coat or another shirt, and I go and I do the mission. And it's like I remember everything. Sometimes I don't want to remember because it is what it is, and it's not pretty. And it's just like what Amy Goodman shows on Democracy Now. And all it's...
Yet you volunteer to be the witness.
That's right.
The earth plane, that's what it means.
I said I would say...
To be the active principle that the Divine Mother has you as her guest on her breast.
That's right.
There.
I said I would look at it and I will tell the world. Never again. Now is the time for peace.
You will be the one that shows the way.
Yeah.
The way shows. Also, I just wanted to add, Beth, that for Frank, that Rama is in at least two places at once and nowhere at all day, all night. He is a navigator on the bridge of the New Jerusalem and has never not been. And he's here on the earth plane doing what he's doing here as well. So
and
that's
it
what
is.
It means to be able to be in two places at once and nowhere at all. And you have 16 other life forces in countries all over the world helping you with your mission from the country.
There's a really cool book out there, Frank, and it's called The Story of Oversoul 7, and it's a bit old, yet it's from Seth Speaks, and it is talking about having simultaneous lives, one in the future, one in present, mm-hmm. and one in the past.
Right.
And this is what we are doing right now in this moment.
That's how we bring all time back to present moment, because time was an elongation and it was an artificial insemination into our consciousness, and it was false.
Yeah.
And we even asked for it. We asked for it.
Why did we ask for that?
To heal it, Frank. We have to heal what's going on, what's wrong with the planet. We have to heal it with love, so we're doing that through example.
Oh. So are you saying that there's seven other versions of me living at the same time, learning different experiences? Is that what you meant by that?
It's true.
Okay, and if that's the case, is there a way of tapping into memories or the knowledge of those other experiences? Or is that just something that happens as you raise your vibration and things open?
Well, I'm like Rama. I can remember what I do at night. I work with the medical teams, and a lot of times I choose not to remember my nights because I've been doing surgery all night and I wake up tired. And my mission when I came in this time was to forget. To forget who I was, to forget what I do. And part of my mission was to completely forget everything and then remember through raising my vibration. And so I've done that as an example to show, to make a path for others to follow how to remember themselves. And so there's many different ways that you can augment your memory and one of the, you know, one of the most important things to do is to clear and to cleanse, you know, and let go of anything that's not serving you. And another thing that's important is to keep asking your guides to show you more and be, you know, persistently asking every single day. That helps more than anything.
This is what I do when I get on the radio and I call up Tom Hartman or Randy Rhodes or Stephanie Miller and just say, what about this? You know, and they tell me. And I encourage you to do the same.
And it's not as if you are your body. That's the lesson here. When we say that there are 17 lives with different bodies, with different cultures, with different colors, with different surroundings, taking the same kernel of the mission and doing it from the geographical location that they chose to come in and do it. What is this teaching us when we realize this is true? And we said at least 17. At least 17. And so what are we doing? And not only that, for instance, I'm going to say it again, Rama's on the ships.
Yeah, I'm
on the ships, and I'm here. And I have 17 at least all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are we doing here? We're teaching holographic reality in the sense that the holographic reality is of the truth. And the only way that's possible is to stand witness to it. And it doesn't mean just where you're sitting. It means in the timeline, wherever it might be, remembering that, like Rama said, another one of us can be in the future, and another one of us can be somewhere in the past, which means that that's all on the timeline. Those terms are only in polarity, since all time is present. It would behoove us to realize why we chose to be in all these past, present, future, and other locations with other environments, all and on the ships, all at once. Because we would have to witness from all those points of light so that we could bring all time into presence. That's who you are. That's who I am. And you ask, there is no such thing as a stupid question if you really want to know.
Yeah.
Now, what did the Dalai Lama say? He said, don't you ask me any silly questions. Now, that's not a silly question. That's just the beginning of you not knowing exactly how to ask it. And then some of us who have witnessing and remember it can share that reality, which is real. Your imagination is real. So let it be for you so that it is real. And just play. I mean it. In that innocence of a holy child. Play with this. This is fun.
And Frank, there's two parts to this. Always, you have to ask and you have to allow. And what that means is if you ask your guides to show you your path, to show you the things that give you the most excitement, then if you're in the bookstore and you're browsing books and a book jumps off the shelf, by all means, you're supposed to buy that book and read it. And if you don't take the action steps after you've been shown the guidance, then you won't get any more guidance until you've taken the next action step. And it continuously goes on like that all the time. You can get on the Galactic Roundtable and pick, you know, view all on the blogs and go back and read everything that's there. There's a lot of good information answering this question there. And read articles and hang out with people and learn new things and keep asking your guide to show you what's next for you. And then act on it.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't know how to explain it, like very hungry to learn. If that's does make sense.
It makes sense. I'm so happy to hear you.
And not only that, thank God that I just love to talk until I drop.
Oh, well, thank you for talking. It's just that I have all these questions I don't know how to ask. And can I mention one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because another thing, the way I see this, right, is I read that there's people that play these video games in Korea to the point where they're so addicted to it that they forget to drink, and they're dying. There's people that have died of dehydration playing video games, right? And so that puzzled me, and I sort of think of it like, you know, the most popular video game right now is this thing called World of Warcraft. Now, I'm not into video games, and I don't like violence, but the thing is that these people, I think, are so addicted because they're in this other reality, and they're forming bonds, like, of friendship with these teams that they build.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I see it like, you know, think of it as that is one reality, and your only sensory perception is your eyesight. And, you know, I see this life as like a bigger version of a video game where we have five senses. And a long time ago, this is years ago, I started thinking of, if you were to take everybody that you know and just took their brain and put their brain in a mason jar, and they took away all their sensory perceptions, their taste, their touch, their smell, they have no longer any possessions, they have nothing, they're only down to their essence, and everybody is now a brain in a mason jar, and the only ability they have is to telepathically communicate to each other what is left of that person. And that's how I started viewing people. You know, it's like now no longer is it so important, you know, what kind of jewelry or car or how much they make on their job or what have they, you know. It comes down to, like, the character.
Their essence, their life, their light body, their essence.
And then I was just thinking, you know, is that just a way of me figuring out, you know, just their consciousness, you know, and that this is just a bodysuit? And then I started thinking, you know, that maybe our consciousness puts Elma's bodysuit, like, if I want to experience flight, I put my body inside of a plane suit, and I feel flight. If I want to go 60 miles per hour on a road, I put my body in the car suit, and I experience that. So is it that there are experiences that you can't feel when you're just a consciousness spirit in another realm, that you come into this bodysuit in this reality to experience? So then, should I focus on certain experiences in this reality? Or is that not the right thing?
Frank, have you ever heard of something called the antimatter universe?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of antimatter. I don't really know much about it.
Well, you just gave me a trustees on what it is. That's what it is.
Yes.
You have mastered the higher teaching with what you just said. That's it. Well, you just described the antimatter universe, and that's where I'm going to take everybody later when we do the meditation.
Okay. Well, I don't know what you mean by I've mastered the
antimatter
universe.
You got it. You got an A+. You're going to have to just keep reading now. And I invite you to join Galactic Roundtable and get on the chat, because this is what they're talking about every single day, and you'll have new friends, and you can ask all these questions and all discuss it together, and this is what we've been doing at Galactic Roundtable.
You might say, okay. Neo and Morpheus have touched you, dude.
All right,
you're
well,
there, you got it, A+.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you very much for all your answers and for the show, and I'm just very happy about it.
I look forward to seeing you more in the future, Frank.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Yes.
Bye.
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 Hi, Liz. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Liz.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I received an email this morning from Romania, and this man, his 10-year-old son came in and said, Dad, and showed him the compass, and it said that the north was in the south, and the south was in the north. So I went and got my compass, and now I can't tell because the needle has the same at both ends, so I'm not sure which is what. One end is black and the other one is silver. So have you all heard anything about this?
I can just tell you, Liz, that when I get around compasses, I sometimes make the compasses go wonky because of my energy. And I don't know exactly where north is. And what I have to do is actually look on the car. I actually have a compass on the car, and the car tells me which way north and south is, and because it can bypass me somehow, and my energy isn't affected the compass on the car, so I can kind of figure it out. But if I hold the compass in my hand, I affect it, and it's like maybe you're affecting the compass too with your magnetic energy. As we raise our frequencies, we are magnetic beings. I don't know if that answers the question.
Well, in other words, are you trying to say that your energy throws nature off or something?
I can actually hold the compass in my hand, and I can make north go wherever I want it to go.
It's to do with the electromagnetic energy in the cell.
Yeah, and that's why, you know,
Yet doesn't the Earth, since you're the universe, doesn't the Earth comply with you?
I would think so.
It's the proximity of the magnet to those electromagnetic cells. They draw that arrow around to a different place.
Okay.
Well, that 10-year-old boy must be an indigo child or a crystal child.
Or maybe an E.T.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, I was just wondering that. And I didn't hear what you said about getting in touch with your gods, because I've been asking. They drop thoughts into my head, but they don't really talk to me, and I'm just asking, and how do you get them to talk to you?
Well, dropping thoughts into your head is talking to you.
What is what?
When they drop thoughts into your head, they are talking to you.
Well, yeah, but I want them to talk to me.
Okay,
I keep asking, but they
have
keep
you ever
dropping thoughts into my head, so...
Well, Liz,
anyway,
have you ever?
Okay.
Well, Liz, have you? Liz,
what?
Have you ever started a conversation and been the one to begin the conversation?
No.
Okay, this is what you do next. You sit there and you say, you know, okay, guys, I want to talk to you about what's going on in Israel, and this is the way I see it, and give them the whole explanation of what you're thinking, and then sit quietly and say to them, what do you think? And see if you get anything back.
Okay, that sounds good. Did anybody there last night, I wasn't asleep, but I started getting geometric symbols downloaded. Anybody there been doing that last night?
I have been doing that, I have to tell you, since 1967 when they turned me on. I have been watching the symbols, and I mean, it hasn't stopped, and it comes at light speed. It's like if you've ever saw the movie Lawnmower Man with the symbols in virtual reality, and it comes at the speed of light. And I have been watching that since 1967 when I first went up on the ships. And this is how I figured out how to understand the Solex Mall language.
And it's a movie called Lawnmower Man?
Well, I'm just trying to tell you, in that movie, they used the universal symbols of the Solex Mall language in that movie.
Okay, well, thank you. I just may get that movie.
Yeah, it's a cool movie. It's from Stephen King, yet it is talking about virtual reality. And then in the other movie, Lawnmower Man 2, he comes back to love.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much for all that y'all do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I love you all.
Thank you, Liz. Love you.
Bye-bye.
I would make a comment that... for her as
Rita,
well.
We can't hear you at all. You've got to be much louder somehow.
Okay. Is this better?
Yeah.
Many, many years ago as well, maybe 15 or 20, it's like at night, I saw all the symbols. It was like they were just coming into my chest faster than I could almost watch them. And that went on for quite a long while. As far as she was talking about seeing the symbols. So I know that from my own experience as well as other people that I'm working with, that is is one of the ways that they start communicating.
Hello?
I know Dina's there.
Oh, thank you, Marita Robert. I have similar experiences. Just wanted to comment there. Beth, are you still there?
Did you disappear, Beth?
I am here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, there's something bouncing on the bottom of our computer. What is that?
No.
I think we have Dina from Denver on the line.
Yes.
Okay, Dina. Hello.
Hello, all three of you. God bless you. You're so precious. I was so touched by you, Beth, and there was a silence after you finished telling us about this business of these people, threatening you and that kind of thing, and I was very touched by that because it just never dawned on me that that would be happening. I don't know. I just think I think all of us are very, very grateful to all of you, Marita, and everybody for all that you do to help us to try and learn what we're supposed to learn. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Dina.
Thank you.
And we love you very much.
Love you too.
And you be well, Dina, okay?
I'm perfect. I'm getting perfecter more every day.
All right. Namaste, dear one.
Namaste.
Well, if we're quiet, I know I have picked out some things I wouldn't mind reading today. It's just up to everybody else.
What do you want to do here too, Beth?
Yeah, you too.
Well, I had promised everybody we would do some channeling today. And I think there's time for everything, Tara. I want you to have time for your reading too. But there's something I'd like to do.
Good.
It's going to take 5 minutes, what I want to do next.
Okay.
There's a lot of chaotic energy today. And I want us to tune into our pineal glands, and it's going to take about 5 minutes. And we're going to do that together as a group. But first, we can take Mary on line one.
Hi, guys. I just want to thank all of you. Very much. I've been listening to you for a while now, and you're all wonderful.
Thank
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I've been taking pictures of orbs now, and they're starting to get kind of strange. Some of them are you can see right through them, but they're perfectly round. Some are kind of milky, some are very tiny, and some are large. The last one seems to have some sort of a rainbow effect around it. And one of them looks like it has a face in it. And I'm just kind of curious, what is all this about, you know? Sometimes I invite them and they don't come, but they just show up when they want. And does anybody have any suggestions as to what this is?
You mean what the orbs are?
Well, I mean, why are they so different? I mean, some of them are yellow, you know, and they're kind of small. You know, I mean, what are they? Are they all different or what?
They all have a similarity. You might say they're a species in a certain way.
I agree, yeah.
Yet they have different, they come in different sizes to do different things. And I watched, what's his name? Jerry Bostock. He's a Australian Aboriginal healer. And he came to Taos, and Shantara and Tara and Rama and Mark and AD and a whole group of us from Santa Fe went up there to work with him for 4 days. And he had a bone healer with him. And the two of them worked together. Now, the man who was the bone healer also had a camera, one of those cameras that produce instant photos. And he would go around the group when he was doing healing work. And every kind of orb you can imagine was showing up at the end of an arc of energy coming out of Jerry's head and arms and neck and heart and coming out everywhere. This was like a 40 by 40 room. And these orbs would follow to the source of from the source to, say, the heart chakra of Dennis, Shantara's friend, when she had there. And, I mean, Dennis is 6'7" tall, and it made him burst into tears. And he was just sobbing and releasing. And so, I mean, it was a tiny orb. And so, and it was pink. And I'm just saying there are all kinds of purposes for color, for sound, for shape. And they're a whole species, and guess what? They get along. And they work together. And I'm telling you, there's film footage of this. We were looking at fifth dimensional activity on screen.
Mary, I have witnessed seeing Alcyone in an orb. I have seen Lord and Lady of Sirius in an orb, and these were larger orbs. But I've also seen elves in orbs.
I have too.
Okay, so maybe what's going on is that's a Merkaba vehicle for whatever species needs to use that vehicle.
Wow. Yes.
And there were thousands of orbs over millions of people in Grant Park, and it was on CNN's film footage.
Yeah.
These were our galactic brothers and sisters and family coming to celebrate with us that the light had won.
And Dan Rizak, a friend of ours from long ago, he went to Paris with his wife and different places in Europe. And he was taking pictures, and the orbs were all over the place. They were all over where he was. I mean, on power spots, and where was he in Paris? He was at some famous place.
The Louvre, maybe?
No, it was just in a main square in Paris, and there were orbs just everywhere. What's that, the Leaning Tower of Pizza?
That's in Italy.
Oh, that's in Italy.
Florence.
Florence, is that where we get the word pizza from?
I don't think so.
Mary,
there's either you can look at the pictures and ask the orbs who's in them, or you can find someone who knows how to do that, and you can figure out what's in those orbs.
Any deceased people ever appear in the orbs or bring the orbs with them? Do you know?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, if they're traveling in a Merkava vehicle, they're not really deceased, so I guess it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever had contact from someone who passed to the other side, you know, in your family or a friend or anything who has come to you?
Well, in a mild sort of way, I think that my mother's around me a lot. And I sort of talk, you know, that type of thing that you were talking about earlier. But I think a psychic friend of mine told me originally that the first ones that I took pictures of were angel orbs, and that they were there because it was a bad time in my niece's life, to just to let you know that she was being watched over.
Isn't that nice?
Very good.
It's true.
Lately, there's like 30 orbs in a picture, you know, and that's like, whoa.
They can be galactics, they can be angelics, they can be members of the magical kingdom.
So it's great
work you're doing preserving those pictures. It's not everybody gets pictures of orbs, so you're doing something right.
Well, thank you. I feel very honored. Whoever they are.
Are you on Galactic Roundtable? I would love it if you would post your pictures.
Yeah, how do I do that?
You go to your My page, and it'll show you where to add photos.
Okay, I will do that.
Just keep picking buttons until you get successful at it.
Okay. Thank you all. I packed the talking stick.
Thank you, Mary, for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Marietta, on line one?
Marita, are you there?
Oh.
Okay, I gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Ruth from Oregon, are you on the line?
Ruth dropped off.
Sorry, we missed you, Ruth.
Call back. The number here is 415-762-1161. Just go ahead. Oh, it looks like we got someone here.
Eva from Colorado, line 3.
Hello, you guys.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. You seem a little far away from me, but I guess I'm coming through all right. I actually have experiences with the orbs as well, and what I've noticed when I take pictures, that the more I am in a really loving space, the more orbs I have on my pictures.
Yes, the more loving space you're in, the more orbs show up on your pictures.
Yeah, so that goes along with the story that Tara was telling as well about the healing. I think they really respond to energies.
That's really good advice.
Go ahead.
I said that's really good advice. I've never gotten an orb in a picture.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to think about that.
And you know what? The other thing that does help as well, that I, just like you keep telling us, you know, ask for upgrades, ask to be trained at night, is to actually ask to have them come show up in your pictures as well. It does help together with the energy you're in. So.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. I was actually, I've been having some questions about, how to put that, the makeup of our beingness. And I'm going to tie that in with the person who called, I think maybe it was Carl, and you said that we have at least 17 other 3D bodies in, on this world, I guess. Tara, were you saying that?
Well, they're not all 3D bodies.
Ah, okay, that's part of my question because...
That would be depressing, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
No, wait a minute. There are 3D bodies in terms of 17 places and 17 bodies around the Earth. That's absolutely true.
Okay, explain it because I don't get it.
Okay, when you reach a certain level where you have mastered the path, it's called the Eightfold Pathway. You mean you become your own true self. In other words, your higher self, your monad. You actually become it and you don't forget about it.
Right.
That you're still having a human experience, yet you have the wisdom to catch yourself better than most. Let's put it that way. In terms of the challenges and how to be creative and how to work with it, doesn't mean you don't get scared. It doesn't mean you don't get happy or sad or all the different gambits. Yet you see things through the eyes of the wise one that you are. Once you've accomplished that, and believe me, you can't come to the earth plane unless you have accomplished that kind of an ascended state at least three times in three different time-space continuums, meaning in a solar universe, in a Shekinah universe, in a father universe. At the solar sun universe is the same, solar/sun. And those three basic universes cover other subdivisions. There are within the three, with the three basic universes, there are seven super universes. And within the seven super universes, there is antimatter universe, and then there is actually antimatter contains six of the seven universes, and matter universe, only one, universe of Nebadon. So this is why we can tell we're at the end of the trail, because number six is that beautiful ruby rose magenta ray of Lady Master Nada. And she comes in this way to bring a balance. And she brings justice with accountability to the path we've been on. Now, there's another series of practices that the Essenes carried out the way with. The Essenes called their path the way. And what they did is they gave an example by demonstrating in that lifetime their ability to remain neutral and to access their higher self under duration and stress, yet and still having a human experience. In that time frame, Yeshu was in the sixth initiation of Sananda Kumara's energies being anchored through him, and I'm telling you, there were at least 17 of him all over this planet bringing wherever it was needed the same vibrations and using the people and the circumstance. It can be various, many things, and knowledge of the language and the culture, yet the same vibration, bringing all these different locales and their civilizations' development on that part of the geography of Mother's Breast up at the same time. When we start working together as a council of 144,
1,000. That's a frequency. And it can be added on. As many individuated souls who have reached that state that we call the completion in that eightfold path, where you are activated with the pink and the gold ray there, with the book of knowledge completely contained within your pineal gland, fully activated, and you're following the laws of nature and nature's God. That's called correction course. That's called being willing to do the Ho'oponopono on everything 24/7. And right now, the I got it is expanding exponentially and with the speed of cosmic light. That's why time can end. The timeline is being completed. When you get to this finish line, it's so fast. As a matter of fact, you know, when you get hit by lightning, Rama's been hit by lightning.
Yes.
You go through the black hole. And
I never knew that. I was too.
You were hit by lightning?
My hand was holding my crystal that I work with, and the lightning came in the window and hit the crystal in my hand and went right through my hand.
Did you drop the crystal?
No, I think I snuggled under the covers, though, because I was scared.
I hear ya.
A loud crack of lightning came over the house. It was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I sat up in bed, and I woke up, and I was holding my crystal in my hand. And then the next thing I know, a strike of lightning came right in the window and hit that crystal center right in my hand.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That's pretty awesome. Rama, you had one too. You were standing by a tree.
Yeah, and the lightning hit the tree and then hit me.
And went right through your whole body.
Right, and I ended up on
You got thrown, didn't you?
I got thrown on the ground, and I was looking up just going, you could have knocked, guys.
Well, you got to pay attention. You're walking in a storm like that with lightning. Yet you do go through a black hole. It's the same thing. I've had numerous near-death experiences. And you actually go into an attraction for a dot, like a pinhead of light.
Right.
And everything is black at first. And then the pinhead of light, you're attracted to light. And it starts, you start actually experiencing the feeling of being drawn to the light at super light speed. And literally it can be that it appears that you've been away for quite some time, yet you're not away that long.
No.
You're not really away that long. Yet you can have a complete scenario experience. And I was drawn through that light when I was on a stretcher with a double broken neck. I was in, you know, the blue light condition. And so I went through the ceiling attracted to that light, not aware of physicality, only the light. And I literally went through the ceiling and into that light, and it burst like blinding light, like they said St. Paul of Tarsus or Saul of Tarsus.
Looking at the sun.
It's the same thing when a ship comes into the gravitational field of Earth. They go through that Sword of Orion because we are where the Orion War completes itself. That's why that Eye of On is what it is. The middle star, it's where that Sword of Orion is focused on that light, and you go right through it when you get to the other side of it, as you are in physicality in third dimension, you end up in fifth dimension. And, of course, then I had a choice. And I had already arrived. And what was coming toward me was my understanding of Sananda Kumara, actually. I knew all about that at 29. And there was a little boy in his hand. And that little boy is my 25-year-old son right now. And Sananda said to me, he said, this little boy wants you to be his mother. Mm-hmm. It didn't take a second for me to get back through that, through that little place we came from called a pinhead of light, through the ceiling, and I hovered on the ceiling and I took a look at the whole scene. I could see every nurse, every doctor, what the doctor was doing. He was digging stuff out of my neck and my head, and I said, oh my God, that was it. I was in the body.
Wow.
And I'm just telling you, that happens when you get that kind of an experience, because lightning is, how many volts is lightning when you actually get a full dose? I mean,
it can be as hot as the sun, which is like in the, they measure it in kelvins, and I don't know.
So for you to survive a full hit like that, It's a rather unusual thing.
The tree buffered most of it, and then I got it. So it was a step down. But if I had gotten the full dose, I don't know if I wouldn't be here.
Well, in that movie Powder, that guy got the full dose. He did it on purpose. He actually liked the energy.
Yeah.
What does it mean when you get hit by lightning? It's not an accident to get hit by lightning.
No.
So, answer, Rami. You're the one, and you too, answer, Beth. You know the answer to every question.
I'll just say that it was like an upgrade in the frequencies. You know, I guess on a conscious level, I was saying, I want to move higher, so they moved me higher. Yet I wasn't expecting it to come in that way.
Oh, well, I said that several times a day for years, so that must have been it. That's why I was arguing with Tara that I couldn't possibly have 17 3D bodies somewhere else, because I insisted that they all be higher.
that doesn't mean they're not higher. It doesn't mean that, because when you're in that state, you're actually an ascended master. I'm sorry, we're all ascended masters. You're just getting aware of it more and more. And you're absolutely able to control and balance
time
being
and
in 17 places and time, matter, and space. Absolutely.
When it happened to me, I just thought they were activating the crystal.
You are the crystal. Remember, you're the universe.
It woke me up for sure.
There is absolutely no separation. That's the deal, folks.
I think Ruth has been waiting a while.
Okay. Hi, Ruth. You're back.
I came back. I fell off, and I came right on back, just like we all have. I want to send you all blessings.
Thank you.
Hi, and blessings to all of you, and of course, as everyone feels gratitude and so much love for you all, Beth and Rama and Tara and Marita Robert. I do have two questions. One is very much in line with what we've been talking about. Ralph in New York was talking about you were talking with him about timelines, and my question is that, if that timelines are dissolving, this timeline is dissolving, what is that, how does that reflect on Atlantis and Lemuria?
How does what reflect on Atlantis and Lemuria?
Well, see, one thing to understand, sorry, Tara. One thing
That's
to
fine.
Understand, go ahead, repeat the question.
The question is, if the timelines are, this timeline is dissolving, or various timelines are dissolving, how does that reflect on our history with in our lifetimes that we spent in Atlantis, or are spending, because everything is now, in Atlantis and Lemuria?
Okay, I get it now.
Well,
thanks.
Rama, you can help me with this, but what I have to say is that the timelines are not linear. The timelines are holograms.
They are, and they're dissolving as we are having this conversation.
That means when we get more non-linear, then we can erase things that appear to be affecting us now from the past. Meaning we can erase the whole blowing up of the great crystal.
Right.
And that really has to happen, and it's already complete. And we're becoming aware of that so that we can actually merge and converge, harmonic convergence, harmonically, with Earth's merging and converging of her soul path. Remember, she volunteered to take a chance with humanity.
Mm.
She said, all right, get in here. I don't need you, but let's see how long I last with you hanging out.
Okay, so imagine it as a hologram, and what you can imagine is like the old-fashioned erector sets with the little, you know, the sticks and the wheels all sticking into each other. And when timelines dissolve, think of them as being color-coded in this hologram, and certain parts of it stay and certain parts of it dissolve. So the structure of the hologram remains, but the parts of it that are no longer needed dissolve, and it's not a linear concept.
That makes great sense. Perfect sense.
Thank you.
And to give a real concrete example of what Beth just explained, when Hillary was ordered to be executed by the duly elected president of the United States, voted to be so by the world to the tune of 78%, then every timeline event which she affected in every one of her lifetimes for 450 billion years worth of it, past, present, and future, was completely dissolved.
Maybe that is now.
That means everything she represents, the 13 family continuum that she represents, her part of that dissolves.
Well, there are rumors she's got the C word going on in her body.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah. And love her even more for what she took on as one of the Elder Dragons on that level.
Well, it's just the hologram has developed a disease.
Yeah.
And really, the reason that's occurred is to show everyone that her persistence, even though, you know, we did the clone of her, we did a look-alike clone, and then a second look-alike clone, she didn't get it. She did not come to love. And it was an opportunity, no matter what state, all the way to this completion point that she was in, she still has a chance. Even now, in the face of accepting the fact that she's contracted this illness. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's divine timing and divine will and divine way. The other question really does kind of relate with all of this. We started out as a singular soul, you might say, a soul with one energy, and then split, and are experiencing many other timelines, you might say, or other ways of other lives with and without bodies on wherever we are in the all the multiverse, actually. So if we want and need and are to bring all of our expressions into oneness, wholeness, actually the word is an if, how do we, and can you just expound on that? Thank you.
Yeah.
What you do is a soul integration, and who you ask to do that for you is Lord Melchizedek and Lord Metatron and Archangel Michael. Those three together, they each play a role in the soul integration process. And if you call Lord Melchizedek, Lord Metatron, and Archangel Michael and say, please do a soul integration for me, and ask for this right before you go to sleep, they will take you in your dream time and they will do a soul integration for you. And that will call back all the mastery you've had in all your other lives back into yourself now, and you will see a change when you wake up. The change is immediate. You'll notice a change in yourself. You'll have more confidence and you'll be able to achieve more things. And it's as simple as that. It's just for about asking and allowing.
Mm-hmm. And accepting and integrating. Those are other words that I like to throw into the mix there. Thank you, Beth. But the question really is then what happens to the twin flame? Is that also the integration process part of it?
What happens to the twin flames? It's all a part of the soul integration. It's all a part of the soul integration. It all gets pulled back to you.
Okay. So there won't be two sort of separate entities, so to speak, separate expressions. If I call for all the for an integration and my twin flame is, say, on the New Jerusalem and they arrive here, then is there a twin flame there or not? If I'm integrated with all my soul matrix.
Oh, okay. I've visualized several of these happening. I facilitated these, and I actually get to see it happening. And what they showed me was the twin flames come together at the heart, in the Merkava, in the heart, and they join together as if they're one. They merge, and then the souls go out in every direction from there, from all these lifetimes, and then all of them are pulled together into one. That's what I've seen.
In other words, we're always doing role play, yet our one source of our being is in that divine heart of the universe. And that's where we're one heart and one love and one mind and one spirit. And we volunteered to do a play. We decided to do a divine play. We call it the Divine Leela. And we all decided to take on various experiences in this play and to experience in different bodies, in different time-space continuums. And I mean literally different types of bodies. In the elven kingdom, in the fairy kingdom, in the angelic kingdom, in the human kingdom, in the every form, in the stone kingdom, in the plant kingdom. There are plants that have sentience, you know. There are trees that have sentience. As a matter of fact, everything does have sentience.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the human being has the gift of recognizing that in everything. And it's by our recognition, through honoring and through praise and respect and thanks and love, that the essence of what is before us in our plate is divine food for our experiencing, no matter whether it appears to be fun in the moment. It's only a matter of a split second to change your attitude to gratitude, which is 4/5 of experiencing the love experience. That means you must be in the receptive mode. And right now, because it's been a bit of a challenge to say the least, it would behoove all of us to understand what that means in terms of that word for love called divine surrender. Right now, to the realization that you are everything. And you created everything. And you are nothing all at the same time. And a true master can spread himself in all of creation. That means you can be all people
and understand all things and simultaneously use the divine virtues to assist all things to come together in one final moment.
Mm.
You are that universe, nothing left. What's the matter here is that we are choosing now to embrace more love than we ever knew was there, much less that we could hold it. And Mother says this all the time. All the love you can hold and more. Surrender. You know, uncle? You know that word, uncle? Mother is very persistent. She thinks, you think you got enough love? Sorry, folks.
That's a great explanation.
Thank you.
Rama?
I agree.
I was going to say, Beth, everybody, I don't know if you're done, but Rama just pulled up a song called One Love by Playing for Change. Maybe we want to sit and have a little listen.
I'd love that song.
Evo.
What,
honey? Hello, you guys.
Eva, are you still there, my dear? Eva?
Hello. Lady Master Eva, are you online too? Whoops.
I think that's a no.
Okay.
Hello. There we go. Okay, Eva.
One love.
Area code 415-762-1161, and let's listen to some beautiful music in the meantime. Okay, what's all those blurpees?
It's me, Tara. It's always me. Blame it on me.
Okay, you're a little elven blurpees. All right.
Okay. Oh, my God. Here we go.
There's an echo.
Together, feel it all around. Come on, let's get
Talking stick.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
The singing stick. Hey. Okay. Well,
Sarah. Hi. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, this is...
This is Beth, Sarah. How are you?
Beth, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Should I ask a question now?
Please do.
You're on the air, Lady Master.
Oh, okay. I had this dream, I don't know, several weeks ago, a few months ago, and I can't get it out of my head, and it was just a short kind of a visual. I'm pretty sure it was in my dream time. And what happened was there were a couple of grays, like 6 to 10 feet away from me, and I was outside, and they were working on something, like testing the soil or something or other. And another being... All I know is that it was a tall being, was explaining to me that they're here to collect data and send it back to wherever. I don't remember what was said, but, and it seemed to me like there might have been a ship close by. So I'm hoping that you can give me, I haven't heard a lot of good stuff about Grays. And so I'm hoping that you can give me some kind of insight into what that might have been about.
Well, Sarah, some of the grays never fell, and there are positive grays. We just don't hear much about them. There's grays working in the Galactic Federation, and they're one of us. They're our family. And I'm just wondering if you're remembering your night work.
No, I'm not. I'm remembering my dreams, but and my dreams are speaking to me on what I should be doing, but I'm not remembering any specific night work now.
Were you collecting samples in your night work, working with these ones?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure.
That's what I'm saying.
I keep saying, remember your night work, remember your night work, and maybe that was your night work, I don't know.
So I could have been helping them or working with them?
Could be. That's just what the night work is like. You're out there with these ones and you're on the ships, and it sounds more like to me you're talking about that than a dream.
And I will just add that I serve alongside these beings as my crewmates on the New Jerusalem. And like Beth said, some of them never fell. Yet the ones that came here from, in a sense, the future to warn us about the situations that occurred long ago when their planet went supernova or got destroyed, it's like, returning to self or center to heal what occurred. And oftentimes they're working on receiving the soil samples. You may have been helping them with that. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Good work. You remembered your night work. That's awesome. This is what I'm talking about, Sarah. People are telling me now that they're remembering, and you did it, and it wasn't a dream.
No, it's not. It's not. Your imagination is real. That's the thing that they really tried to get us not to believe. Not to believe in the magic. And again, this morning on the Moorish call too said, as long as you're in a belief, quote unquote, organization, which means like a church organization, then you are not in the knowledge yet of the truth. And you need to believe as long as you need to believe until you're ready. And sometimes it takes a little bit of a adjustment because there are other things that are moving and other people that are moving and others who are moving with positive thoughts. And so the experiences can be, instead of dreadful, they can be more inspiring. Even in the middle of a war zone. And if you don't think we're not in the war zone of all war zones, we all have another thing coming. It appears, and my mother said this once. She said, it's much more painful to be in the place of responsibility for what's occurring in a war zone. Those who are in it, they're in it, and they're on a journey that you might say is more painful to the one who knows, mm-hmm. and who stands witness, and
right.
who can actually find in their heart of compassion a way to remain neutral. Now that is the most challenging of circumstances that we live in right now. The master of divine neutrality has always been Saint Germain. And Mother said he's a very wild man, and I have seen him in some very wild positions. And believe me, it is true.
And it's always pretty funny.
it is absolutely true. And not to stray from the conversation, but I just remember when I was growing up and I was looking at the seriousness of the situation on the planet, and right after JFK supposedly left the planet, and I kept saying, he's not dead, he's not dead, and people thought I was crazy. And I kept growing and evolving, and my family offered me I could have grown up to be a nice Jewish doctor in Beverly Hills, and all the kudos that go with it. And I said, no, I must serve my my Father who art in heaven, I want to be a starship captain. And everybody said, you're nuts. And I heard the call, even in the 60s, that said, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Do the mission. So I said, okay.
Yeah, stop complaining. Just get busy.
Yeah.
And Sarah, as we keep remembering, then when our as our consciousness opens up more, then we remember there are motherships 5,000 miles long that hold 2 million people each, and some of them have nothing but scientists on them.
Mm-hmm.
And those scientists are working with every species out there of ET, and maybe you're working with one of these crews on these ships.
I know people out there that, in a sense, they are scientists, geneticists, and then when they come back here, they're cabinet makers or doctors, or sometimes they're garbage collectors.
Mm-hmm. Each one of us chose a role here that would serve the highest good for what we have to do here, and sometimes it has nothing to do with who we are, you know, at the core.
I know a lady in Albuquerque who's a stripper on the ships. She is a doctor serving mm-hmm. alongside with Lady Master Athena.
Right.
Yeah.
You said she's not a stripper on the ship.
No, just in, just in 3D.
No, they don't do that on the good ship Lollipop, do they?
No.
I don't think so. But
so bottom line, there are no bad grays. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Well, yes. That helps explain a lot, and I appreciate your answers and love you all very much.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Big Will, is that you?
Yes. Beth,
yeehaw!
How are you?
Greetings.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Well, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Are you there? Okay. My question is this. There are 3 wingmaker ships around the planet. Will those wingmaker ships be decloaking as well as the other ships?
Well, the answer is yes, as long as you don't ask for dates and no nukes, Commander. They're all here. There's trillions
okay.
of them. Absolutely.
Okay.
In the timeliest of manners, which I understand is too sweet.
Mm-hmm. What I've heard, you know, what I understand is when Ashtar gives the word, hit the lights, they're all going to hit the lights.
The one that's on the Galactic Roundtable, the one that you showed for SoTech. Are those the type of ships that we will see as well?
No, I don't want to say that any artist's rendering looks like the ships we're going to see because I don't think there's a lot of good pictures out there. I just tried to get the least offensive one. A lot of the ships that they picture out there are negative ET ships, I think. That's my opinion. It takes me a long time to find anything that's big enough that looks like it could be something like that. And they're much larger than the ship in that picture.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
mm-hmm.
goodness. Wow.
Yes, it's going to be wonderful.
Yes. I cannot wait to meet my family.
Me too.
You you guys are fantastic. There is one more question I need to ask, and it's about the Dalai Lama. Now, you state that tonight the Dalai Lama will be on TV tonight, or is it Monday night?
Monday night. Larry King Live, Monday night. 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And the Dalai Lama, interestingly enough, made some comments today or yesterday about Tiger Woods, and he said that it is very admirable that he is saying, I wish to return to my Buddhist faith and deal with the issues that what is going on, where he is saying, I must go within and deal with the healing of my own being, with whatever I may have created with my actions. And the Dalai Lama is saying, kudos to you, dude, for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the crazy right wing out there, they want to get their claws into Tiger Woods and have him join the Christian faith, which is, you know, as we all know, the man with the plan never talked about conquest and empire.
He talked about peace.
Yes, love. I passed the talking stick.
Is there any questions that is off-limit with the Dalai Lama?
The Dalai Lama is a unique individual that has come here as a representative of a very ancient wisdom that actually it goes, I remember before it was Padmasambhava, who was Sanat Kumara. And Padmasambhava worked with the energies called Animas, which is what is the Nagual energy. John Perkins talks about this in his books, getting in touch with that, the Nagual, the non-ordinary reality where you can be in two places at once and nowhere at all. And I'll say that is ultimately where we're going back to. And the Dalai Lama represents an ancient wisdom that the members of this, the People's Republic of China, that there are so many millions of people over there that do not follow the teachings of Chairman Mao. They want freedom. They want peace. They don't want to be ostracized for even holding up a Tibetan flag. Did you know that if you hold up a Tibetan flag in Lhasa or in China, you can be put to death? And this is why it's time that even the members of the...
Everybody's got to come to the compromise. Come to the promised land. That is called a galactic round table.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
Hold on, I don't do hold.
And it's about where you have to stand up, even in the face of the legions of the Black Dragon, who are right now having a conversation over there with Mr. Fulford and Rome and all the other 13 families, where we got to bring this back to front and center. The people of the Eastern cultures represent the Lyrians, the Vagans, the Pleiadians, the Syrians. We're all part of the same families, and we have to heal this for all of us. I pass the talking stick.
And our animal kingdoms and our plant kingdoms and the furry ones and the feathered ones and the finny ones, there are a graduation for every one of us. It's in every one of us to be wise now.
And literally, you know, animals are more than animals. Our body, our animal body is more than that. And our abilities are now going to elevate all of life to that kind of way of being. Instinct merges with intuition in all life through us stewarding that manner. As we know ourselves and then demonstrate it, all things follow as we are the universe. All right, who's there?
Eva.
Eva.
Hi, Eva.
Me?
Can't hear you yet.
Can you hear me?
Now yeah. We
can. Awesome. Yeah, I tried to ask a follow-up question before, but I got disconnected.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Eva.
Okay. So I was the one asking about the other lifetimes, our spiritual makeup. And you guys ended up talking about being hit by lightning, which, by the way, for the shamans, being hit by lightning is a major initiation. So it definitely is an upgrade if one survives it.
Eva, so, say that one more time, will you, please?
Say again?
Will you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, for shamans, I have heard, I've done a little bit of studying. For them, actually, it's a big deal being hit by lightning in terms of it being a major initiation. That is what it's viewed as, if one survives it, of course.
Yes.
It makes me think of the Thunder Beings and the Eagle Command.
Mm.
When they come from the ships, so. I love that explanation. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. So my follow-up question, because I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I used to be a researcher, psychologist, professor, so I still have that mind part. So I'm trying to understand all the different lives we might have. So from Tara, what you said earlier, I'm understanding that at this current time, it is likely that I have at least 17 other incarnations physically on this earth plane.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's true. It's true. There's
We are co-creator God. God is all that is. And we can multiply ourselves in the simulcast of the moment. We can do that.
That's just the earth in this dimension. There's other lifetimes and other dimensions on other planets as well, simultaneous.
Exactly, and that is part of my other question then. So because this is a hologram, then in addition to that, I also know I've had past lives and their future lives here on earth. They are also going on. And it's actually simultaneous because time doesn't exist. And then in addition to that, I also have, as part of my multidimensional being, existences not only likely in the fifth dimension, maybe on the ships, but in all kinds of other dimensions, correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
So what is it that is holding this all together. I've heard of, a description of a monad is a monad has 12 souls, and then each of those has 12 souls or incarnations associated with it. But it sounds like that is too limiting.
Yes, that's true. That it's too limiting.
Well, let's look at it numerically, and then it goes to limitlessness, because numerical codes follow that pattern of limitlessness, although they use the limits of the meaningfulness of each coded number, which has a color, a sound, and vibration, to create a symphony, a harmonic vibration. And we have the ability then to balance left and right hemisphere And we're talking about then the left and right hemisphere of Mother Earth as well, because there is no difference. We are only choosing to manifest ourselves in different forms to actually play in that divine Leela play. This can be very, very, very exciting. That's why you watch a flame dances.
Mm.
Mother said, it's time to dance. It is time to dance with these words coming together with our heart feeling it through thinking. And, you know, my mentor, William David, he said, this generation, this prophet generation, has been dancing a while now, and it's really time to think with your heart. Come out of the divine chaos. I need the door open, something. Out of the divine chaos into a dance. They call it in the Anthroposophical Society, they call it eurythmy. E-U-R-Y-T-H-M-Y. And it's a form of dancing that's coded to color, sound, and vibrational healing. I've seen this done, this work done, and I would just love to, you know, in my immortal life here, actually perform with that energy coming through the body. It's just, it's surfing the Zuvaya. And that's why, Cynthia, you're going to be so ready for you when you get to this call. As those tones of the Oriental scale, the pentatonic scale, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the Western scale called? Diatonic.
Yeah.
And when you play those separately, and you can make a symphony. In other words, only play with the black keys,
mm-hmm.
and you can create a symphony without having a split moment of any kind of training. And that's the same thing with the white keys, play the all white keys. You can actually create something, and it has to do with being conscious. That question of what the universe is consciousness. And the universe is consciousness concentrated into form and then conservated for the sake of beauty. We forgot about that. And what was in the middle of that was respect for all the life that we created. We really forgot about that. And the first thing we forgot about was us. Because knowing that when one is harmed, all are harmed, that means us. And then suppressing the harm and then feeling all the other things, guilty. When I say no, I feel guilty is a book that goes through this process.
Yeah.
A doormat supreme. And I'll tell you what, flower children get an A plus in being doormats. And that means, you know, this idea, oh, Rama, this idea of karma that you left out a lot of smoke.
Mm.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Okay.
Consciously being in the space of balance with all our gifts, that would be a description of completion and joy. And completion means there is nothing more to do yet to be in joy. To be joy. And the only place where joy is possible in divine chaos still going on is to be the embodiment of calm. You can only recognize something as you're there for it. We're always in that, what's that rabbit doing in there? Hello, goodbye, I'm late. We're very important. Hello, goodbye. And being. And who wrote that? Your favorite. Be there now.
Be here now.
Be here now.
Ram Dass.
Yeah, Ramdas. We're all masters. We're all ascended masters. Nobody is more or less. And like Beth said earlier, it's not about, you know, grading certain aspects of each one of us. It's not about that. It's the flow that never stops, the never-ending story of love. And, you know, there is an encumbrance moment, yet there's an embracing of the encumbrance moment. And there's so much love, there's nothing but surrender. Only the positive qualities exist in reality. Chandra Das! I hope that was good, Commandrist. Yes, Chandra Das.
Oh, a couple questions I have for Rama and Tara and Beth. Big Will mentioned the Wingmakers, and I'm pondering that concept of the Wingmakers, because I never hear them related to what planet they're from. I hear of Lyrians and Pleiadians and so on. So where do they come from? And the other thing I wanted to kind of delineate or talk about was the difference between a reptilian Anunnaki and a dragon, a 50-foot dragon, white dragons, black dragons, good dragons, black dragons.
A dragon is part of the reptilian evolutionary process. There are flying dragons, there used to be. And they actually have an ancestor called the bird tribes, because the birds came before. The bird tribes came before, and it's depicted in the western hemisphere of Turtle Island. Remember you talked about the thunder beings? They're called thunderbirds.
Yeah.
And people have seen real thunderbirds. They are like 10 times bigger. 4 to 10 times larger than an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
I have been with the thunder beings.
Yes, and that's Kanyada. Lady Master Nada, yes I can. Kanyada. The crown chakra of the Western Hemisphere, the Hyperborean consciousness, super consciousness. Remember, those who came to Hyperborea were from the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And we came from everywhere. We came from the Pleiades, from Sirius, from Lyra, from Vega, from Andromeda, from
Procyon.
Well, yes, all these places. We came over 200 million civilizations of us came.
Then where's the Wingmakers at?
The Wingmakers are part of that.
Yes, the Wingmakers are ourselves that came from 175 million years into our future to come back into the past.
So is Ranamu a Wingmaker?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Ranamu, you mentioned her. She's a Wingmaker, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And she's also
an Asani.
She's also an Asani.
Mm-hmm.
As Mark is also an Asani, which means that as a master, Mark volunteered to heal the rip in the time-space continuum that occurred 2,000 years prior to now in the Zeta Reticuli constellation, where the Zetas had a holocaust. They had a hydrogen holocaust on their planet, and they were forced to go and live inside of it. And then they decided, because they had to select some of them to take a ship and go look for the Earth plane and come here and, you know, get permission. And the good Zetas did. They came here on a mission because their race was dying. Because
are they related to the Anunnaki?
Yes, they are. They're all coming from the Anunnaki. Yes, the Zetas are part of the Anunnaki. That means all the fallen angels. That means there's dark Syrians. They're part of the Anunnaki, too.
We've all had those roles to play.
We've all ascended and fallen. That was the idea, that we would experience all sides remaining neutral in order to forgive ourselves.
Mother right. Sekhmet calls these ones her wayward children. We love them. We love them.
And in one lifetime or another, we've been part of them, and we decided that we would fix that in the subsequent experience in the next series of lifetimes or
and
more.
That's why the timelines are dissolving. That's how you fix it.
We volunteered with Mother, Father God, that we would stay and take that bodhisattva vow, and we would stay as long as needed for every last child of Father, Mother, God in every kingdom of nature there is to ascend before us.
And we promised we would stay and watch the stupid news every single day.
There is no stupid questions. There might be some silly ones.
And we would all sit around and laugh at the repeat of the news again, 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 and say, that's okay, we can wait.
We're waiting in 0 points.
Oh, we're so close.
So when you speak of Hillary Dillery Dock as being a dragon lady, would you does she shapeshift into a dragon, into a 50-foot dragon or something? Because
yes.
I understand
yes.
that
yes. Yes.
was
yes.
caught shapeshifting into a reptilian. Now, there's reptilians that are smaller than the dragons or what?
Yeah. There's crocodiles. There's all kinds of reptilians. Remember last summer when we removed all those dragons? Then whenever I saw one of these dragons, they all look different.
You know, Dick Cheney is a pterodactyl. Did you know that? Remember on 9/11 Loose Change, second edition, for all who had witnessed it. If you haven't seen it, you can watch it at Google Video, right?
Right.
9/11 Loose Change, second edition, flying down over a street in New York City, and in front of the towers, there were, and Mr. Stewart, Benjamin Stewart, 29 years old, who made that production, he said that there were 8 of them that they filmed, and they cut the footage so you could see something. And we saw him fly in front of the 9/11 towers.
It may not have been him. We don't know.
I was told that he's a shape-shifting dragon that
okay.
was capable of manifesting that kind of energy.
Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't know he was a pterodactyl, but isn't the pterodactyl the one in Jurassic Park who was in the kitchen scene? Kind of short, but with these noses and, you know, getting into everything.
They fly, Beth.
They fly, Beth. They fly just like the pterodactyl that was flying.
Oh, they look like giant bats.
Yes.
Yes, they do. And there was these people that saw this thing flying right over the street they were running down, away from the towers, looking for dinner and having his way with having it, too.
I've seen these ones, and I just am remembering and making the connection.
Absolutely.
Very dark stuff.
Very dark stuff. Once you taste death, you like it when you've killed, and you need to do it more. This is the problemo, and this is the power of love to help that to surrender back to love as well.
Yeah.
Mother says the time is up. Now the time is up, and this is over.
That's
yes,
right.
Sir, Bobby Booby.
Wherever you're at, we're done. Either you're coming or you're not. Train is leaving.
Last call.
But Mother's the conductor at the door, and you're not going to get past her if you don't belong on that train.
All right, now let's see. The time is 3:47. And
wait a minute. We still have Steve waiting from Colorado.
All right.
Hi, Steve.
You to be aware of the time because you want to channel and you want Mother to come by here.
Oh, I see.
Sarah. You're welcome.
Are you still there, Steve?
Oh, we can't hear you, Steve.
Oh, well, sorry, we missed you, Steve.
Call back. I love your video.
Give the number.
415-762-1161.
That's right. What would you like to do now, Rama? It's wow, it did get late. These calls keep going faster and faster and faster.
I think you should maybe, that meditation?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. It'll take 5 minutes.
It shifts the energies.
I agree. Okay. All right, everybody. Sit back and relax, because we're going to do something fun now. If you want to join in the meditation, the only thing you have to do is close your eyes and get as relaxed as possible. If you feel things, you might feel something. And if you see things, you might see something. And if you hear things, you might hear something. And if you will allow the energies to come into your body, I will be attuning you to higher energies from the higher dimensions. And while we're doing that, I'm going to play a piece from Tom Kenyon, and I have his permission to play this. And it's about 5 minutes, and it is toning. And so adjust your volume to where you're comfortable with this toning. It's very intense. And, you know, don't be driving heavy machinery right now. Seriously. Allow yourself to be someplace, you know, get your tea and sit down and be still for 5 minutes and allow these tones to come into your body. And while you're hearing that from Tom Kenyon, which is up on the Galactic Roundtable, and there's full credit to his site, tomkenyon.com. He is a master healer. I recommend everything he does. And he released this one track, and he said we can share it if it's not for commercial gain. And so tune into these energies. And this is what I want you to do. I was typing this in while we were talking. We're going to travel through the higher dimensions to the antimatter universe. We're going to attune to the higher energies there. And as we bathe in these higher energies, we bring a higher vibration through our bodies. We will activate the parts of our bodies which bring the gold dust. And this comes through the cosmic rays, right into our crowns and into the organelles inside our brain, into the pineal gland, the pituitary, the hypothalamus, and the hippocampus. And all of these delicate structures in the brain metabolize and excrete the chemicals from our brain into our bloodstream, known as serotonin and melatonin, and this makes melanin, which circulates through your whole blood. And this is the golden blood we've been talking about. It comes in through the cosmic rays into your body and metabolizes into that. And by doing that, you get yourself into an altered state where you can leave your body and go into the higher realms. And on this journey, I'm going to venture. I will be the leader, and you will follow behind me, and I will be going up to the 352nd dimension. And so anybody, what I'm going to do is I've called the Andromedans to join us. And so anybody who's coming on the journey with me, I want you to, you will saddle up with an Andromedan. And the Andromedans are rainbow light beings from Andromeda, and they are 100 feet tall, and they look like a rectangular rainbow that stretches up 100 feet next to you. And so you will have a guide with you, each and every one of you, and there's enough Andromedans for each one of us on this journey. So you'll feel safe traveling out of your bodies to these higher dimensions, and just go as far as you feel comfortable. And if you feel like going all the way, then we will be at the 352nd dimension during this process. And just close your eyes and experience what you experience. And when we get there, Metatron's ashram is there. And if you get there, you might see everything looks light. And everything there is, it appears white and it's opalescent. And this ashram looks like it's made out of clear crystals. And it morphs all the time. These crystals are always shifting in these geometric patterns. And so it may look different for each one of you. And you may sense or feel that you're there. And then just listen to the music, and as the music comes to an end, then we'll be back. And remember that your Andromedan guide will be with you the whole way. So while we're doing this, I will be holding open this portal up to the 352nd dimension and allowing all the energies to come back through into our bodies and out to the earth. So we're bringing a higher vibration here, and we're raising our own energies as we do this. So enjoy this, everybody. Here we go. Let me just get this playing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh my, everybody, we're back now. I could see us out there. What I saw were everybody had put on their angel wings and they were flying together as angels up through the portal. And I also saw shuttlecraft watching us. And it's hard to imagine that when we go out like that as a group, that we are seen by everything out there. And then we worked on holding that energy. And as we came back, we poured that peace energy back to Earth. And I thank you, thank you, thank you. When we do that together, it makes a tremendous difference on the Earth. It raises everything up. Thank you all who joined in that. And I hope it didn't seem too long. It takes that much time to get all the way out and all the way back. And that those tonings were specifically designed to open the pineal gland more. So I'm just thrilled. That was a great, great joining together. I got to see everything. It was beautiful. Good job, everybody. Thank you for doing that with me.
Thanks.
Thank you. There's all kinds of sticky. We got the tones.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel it?
No.
Oh my God, the ships are just hovering.
Mm-hmm.
They love this kind of stuff, you know, they do.
I saw them seeing us, and some of them know me, and some of them are, you know, some of them roll their eyes and say, oh, she's out there again, and some of them, like, what? What's this?
No, it's wonderful stuff. They like that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We had these things, they were called star orb irradiators. Mm. And there were seven of them in there. And in the center of the room, there was a 10-foot pyramid. And they were made out of the alloys of copper and gold and silver and platinum bronze. And they were a special frequency, the way that they put that together. And there were seven of these, like I said. And we activated it, and then we played some tones, not too unlike what you're doing today.
Mm.
And literally, the ships showed up and decloaked over the whole structure. And the neighborhood we were in was, we were just like a half a block walk from the ocean in the oldest town in all of the Hawaiian Islands. It's called Haula. Mm-hmm. H-A-U-U-L-A. And even Sun Bear came to that place before he left.
That's cool.
And they did a ceremony with the going into the water. You know that song, Wade in the Water, Wade in the Water. Well, it's the symbolism of the ship saying, yeah, it's time to wade in the water.
Mm-hmm.
In the water of healing.
If yeah. I don't splash you, because I'll be out in front.
That's the same place where the lady that lived right on the beach, an older German couple, they had a cat that would get up at 5:30 in the morning and go out and fish for a fish, get in the ocean, And he wouldn't come back until he had a fish and come back and leave it at the door. He wouldn't eat it until he showed everybody, look at what a good boy I am.
My kind of cat. That's great.
That I'm just saying, you know, just know that beings are amazing. They're so telepathic, our animals. Okay.
Deirdre from Philly. Hi. How are you today?
From that meditation, but hello to you, Tara, and Rama, and Marietta. I love you guys, needless to say. And I just called with one comment and one question. My comment is that on a daily basis, I use Tom Kenyon. I've been using his Raphael healing over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really pleased to finally understand what the 23rd Psalm meant, which is you having a conversation with your higher self, and it also gives you infinite protection. So I've been using that. And there is another meditation on Tom's site called the Closing Sound Meditation, and of course the Pineal Gland Meditation. Those things have been taking me out of the universe.
Yes, yes,
and,
Deirdre.
I've called
Tara and Rama crying, and I've said, I can't get back in my body. And they'll say, what have you been doing? And I understand.
I go through this on a daily, nightly basis because I use Tom Kenyon at night because that works for me, and it's extremely incredible.
It takes you right out of your body.
Yes, I mean, it's
I'll get in the
so
bathtub
wonderful.
And I'll put the headphones on and listen to the angels over and over and over, and then the next thing I know, I'm calling them saying, I can't get back in my body.
Tom Kenyon also has some sound healings where you are actually calling in angels. It's on YouTube. He has a few sound meditations there as well. I wanted to mention that. And here is my question. I have always come in contact with three things, with orbs, viewing ships, and beings that come into my dream time from all over the galaxy. And I am almost sure that the last being that I saw, if not Andromedan, it was very, very close. And the only way I can describe it, which will sound kind of weird, is that this being was in rainbow colors. However, it appeared to be maybe about 4 feet wide. And the height, it appeared to me like maybe about 6 feet. But the colors were stacked like wooden planks. Each plank was a different color. It was like green and then gold and then red and then another color. And it went up to a certain point. And I imagine that what was supposed to be the head of this being, the planks went in like you would do a hard right. And it just went up into a shape of a head, and it was kind of flat at the same time. And I could see one eye on the side I was looking at of this being. I have no idea who that being was, and I've seen numbers of them. So if anybody else knows, please tell me that this was an Andromedan or either something else. I can't imagine. And when it showed up, I said, wow, I said, you know, you're kind of interesting, because I always make a comment to them. I say something to them to let them know that, you know, I'm actually connected with them. I see you. Do you see me? So I just wanted to, you know, make that comment and ask that question. And I'm going to pass the talking stick. And I love you guys. Thank you for everything that you do.
Love you, Deirdre.
Thank you.
Okay.
Rama, bye-bye. Have you seen a 6-foot by 4-foot rainbow being?
I have seen rainbow beings, yes. I have seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, they radiate like the sun.
Hmm.
Yeah. They remind me of the angels in the I Am pictures of the Lady Master Liberty and Lady Master Victory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Angel Sue, line 2.
Lady Master, are you? We can't hear you yet. Angel Sue?
Don't know.
Angel Sue, where are you?
Oh.
Okay, Angel Sue, try one more time, okay? It's 415-762-1162.
Ghosts in the machine.
Oh, that.
Yes.
Somebody call the Ghostbusters.
After those sounds, it's like going home. I don't know where to go.
Where am I? Yeah.
I was afraid to do it before the end because it makes you a little bit woozy.
Uh-huh.
A little lightheaded.
Right. The song comes to mind, Pink Floyd, Comfortably Numb.
I feel that too.
And it's not that I want to be numb. I'm just trying to say, oh my God.
All tingly and light.
Uh-huh. Yes.
We are so quiet. What would we like to do? Would you like me to read a little bit? Are we done? Or are we going to go talk channel? Is Mother coming through? What's happening, everybody?
What do you think, Rama?
Let me see what happens here.
Oh, my goodness. Greetings, Mother.
Greetings in the light of the most radiant one. In the office of the Christ and
only in the office of the Christ, we invoke the loving energies of Saint Germain and the violet flame. We ask at this time for the lines of communication within and without all beings be opened wider than ever, and that the ability to receive and surrender be increased exponentially now, for that the love that is here and the flow of our prosperity and, you might say, our opulence be enhanced for us to see and for the gratitude to be expressed now at the deepest level
for all of nature has been awaiting the ascension of man. And I thank you, Mother, for everything you do and coming here and hanging out with this motley crew. Excuse me, no, we are Ascended Masters and we love you. Thank you for helping us to just simple truth, simple love, and remembering who we are. I love you, Mother.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to get your radio voice, Commander, Commandress.
Love you. Greetings, children of Ra. A wild day going on out there with the energies indeed. We heard that maybe he wanted us to show up.
You got to have more of a radio voice. You know,
oh, you heard my message, Mother, that I want everyone to show up?
Yes, and, well, we showed up this way. We are working on the other way as well. When the Syrian commander gets the word, then we can show up with our tail.
Yes, Mother, and we'll have our bells on.
Yes.
And ringing. So that you can be singing, Mother. We're waiting for that lady we talked to. Call her the fat lady. Why do they call her the fat lady?
It is this funny term that talks about the very large lady who wears the Viking hat at the end of the opera, and she sings.
Then what happens?
It is like the swan song end of the performance.
Well, okay, Mother. So, and everybody, if you want to talk to Mother, too, I guess, it's you want to have something to share with us before that?
Mother and Tara, I just want to say I'm going to bring in Metatron now.
Okay, now. Let's just take our time, go slowly, both directions, okay, Lady Master?
Sure.
Okay.
the body can't go too long here.
No, we were talking about the exit strategy and the entrance again.
Yes.
She's saying not to go all mercurial.
Gotta go feed this rental unit.
Oh, my. Okay, give it to this, everybody. Give Beth a moment to bring Metatron through here. And,
greetings, this is Metatron.
Greetings.
Lots of energies changing on the earth today.
Indeed.
Tomorrow may be a very interesting day.
It shall be. Yes, it shall be. And it is with good reason that what all of you are feeling, the anticipation, maybe some real news instead of stories about used tea bags. Yes.
Metatron, do you have something you want to share with us? Metatron, we have Big Will. Maybe he will have something to stimulate the conversation with here.
Yes. Yes.
Big Will, hello.
Yes, hello. Metatron and Mother and Tara, thank you for allowing me to come back in. My question is this here. Each night as I go to sleep, I request to be taken upon the ship. And I would like to know what is my position on the ship and what am I doing. I pass the talking stick.
I think.
Go ahead.
I think Mother Sekhmet can answer that the best.
Because we have shared with you, negotiator, mediator, trader, lots of hats you have worn, sir. At present time, what you are doing is helping pave the way for first contact to be made manifest. At this time, it is imperative.
And right now, that would be what? Because now is the time for negotiating peace and love on the planet. What's he actually doing on the ships right now?
Helping to influence many to change their ideas, concepts, views about the current situations of the geopolitical, spiritual, physical aspects of this reality.
I was just going to say that Pisces, this period of time, the metal is platinum, so that it would be a platinum ray mission of negotiating peace. And how would we describe that? Platinum is on the 12th ray. Isn't that not true? And that's love, again, at the highest level.
And we know that in the place you call Dallas, where you are, a bit difficult to go and share your soapbox on the corner without Governor Mark Perry marking you as a what a socialist communist. Is a bit
that's
of
very
a,
interesting, Mother, because this coming Wednesday, the 24th, is my birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, I mean, does this mean you're appearing to be a Pisces? Anyway, I got to look at the other chart. You may not be a Pisces after all. That was another thing I noticed very strongly this morning, is that Brother Jamal mentioned that there are 13 zodiacal signs that our planet travels through and our sun. Which means that's the kind of, you might say, astrology that is connected with this teaching of you, Mother. I mean, it's the Black Madonna teachings, and it's the number 13, the 13. And what does this mean? It means that 3-in-1, God, Goddess, all that is, all the universes, the basic 3 universes, are merged through us, right?
Yes.
And are anchored on this planet. The Father, the Son, and the Shekinah energies.
Yes.
So, and as that would be a platinum white light, I would necessarily think that the kind of room and the cleaning that's going on with that light is, I think we better get ready to be close to the end of cleaning out, and as you're not, get ready for a great big flush, I would say, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't that be appropriate to get that White House really white now?
Mag-07, as it is called, look out below.
The 13th gateway also marks the place where we move from matter to antimatter.
Yes,
that's right.
Doorway.
And guess who's at the door?
We are waiting just to help you understand this is only about love of the greatest magnitude, so we can do this with grace, beauty, dignity, and ecstatic orgasmic joy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? But the tree spirit for Pisces is the willow tree.
Yes.
I was just thinking how, you know, the negotiations part for Commander Liger there on the Platinum Ray, one would be getting a blast from him just being in their presence of platinum white light. And he would be like the Aikido master, right? He would just go with the flow. And in other words, he would allow the willow tree, that kind of surrender, along with the light. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That kind of way of being brings a lot of joy to people. Mm-hmm. I do think that Barak has been able to accomplish that, too, in many circumstances.
Lynn from Michigan.
Hello.
Greetings, all.
Hello,
love again. I would just have, I have a question for Rama. I would like to know what it is that I'm doing on the ships. I'm having all the experiences you guys have shared, and I've had them all my life, and they're just very pronounced and strong now.
Okay, well, Rama's not here at the moment. I think you you don't mind Mother answering that question for you, do you?
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. Thank you so much.
Okay.
You're so sweet.
I love you. Okay. Mother, please come to the plate here.
What you do is you have a wisdom where you bring great joy in the understanding. We see you teaching children in a classroom in one of the areas of the ships, in the sense of beginning understandings of the nature of the solar system and the planets and how they are living beings and how they interact with each other, as well as the life forms that are a symbiotic part of the matrix of whole life, like the strands of the great tree. We see that this may be what you share, don't know. We understand you have lot of wisdom that you also see you in the arboretums working with the plants and the fairy lords in the forest regions of these domes on the ships. Did you know we have trees that are almost as high or as high as your redwoods on the ships?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Because it is part of all of the nature of what you have here. There is just a reflection on the levels we have on our craft so that we can use the etheric blueprint to recreate them when the time is right.
Very good.
Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Mother. Thank you all.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Mr. Reverend Gale from California, line 2.
Commander.
Hello? Reverend Dale, you're on line two, I think. We can't hear you, so just make sure you're unmuted.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Now, but you got to get closer to the phone and talk louder,
okay.
Commander.
How is it? Can you hear me good now?
Yeah, getting much better now.
Okay. Greetings, Mother Sekhmet. Thank you for being here today. I want to ask you if anything has changed since the last time we spoke in terms of we had a reading, and you shared with me some of the work that I'm doing on the ships or interdimensionally.
We can say that as you are exponentially experiencing more and more light coming in, you are taking on more responsibilities on the ships of waking yourself up as your beloved, as well as the ones around you. And we can just say the energies are rising in very rapid rate, and it is affecting all of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And how that is affecting the nature of the mission. More and more are waking up and wanting to share the happy news that we are here and that we want your so-called elected officials of the free world to announce our presence.
Yes, and how can I be more effective in doing that?
One of the best ways is to bring the conversation to the understanding that we're not so much about the phenomena and the technologies of what has been done by these 13 families to create dramas to the sky. Yes, that is part of the integrating of understanding. Yes, you have all been hung out to dry and inside out, upside down, all around. Enough.
We help you.
Now we go on with what has to be done here by bringing the happy news that all of us are part of this. And as we share the wisdom that we hold the keys to our own ascension in the process of gently waking each other up in the holodeck program and saying, the Matrix ain't real.
Yes, Mother, do you remember last year you had given me a reading regarding my work with Soltech on the Starship Phoenix as a flight instructor and a teacher in quantum physics? I was curious if that's something that is still occurring and how I can integrate that.
Yes, that is ongoing, and Commander Soltech is helping you understand the process in which you can help the others in the greater reality that we are here only on a mission of the utmost grace, beauty, and peace. And in spite of the other stories out there of the different phenomena, the whistleblowers, yes, all of it, it is about sharing the wisdom that we all have, the unique pieces of how we fit into this cosmic drama.
Thank you, Mother. I have one last question. Regarding the messages, there's been so many wonderful messages recently, as a matter of fact, from Commander Soltek, as well as from Commander Hilleron. For some reason, there just has been a focus with some of my friends and readers on the next coming 2 months in terms of some earth changes, possible earthquakes in California area. Is there any truth to that, or any position I can take in terms of comforting people, assisting them?
Well, California just had an earthquake not long ago, just off the coast, and these earth changes continue as the earth grid ascends. And what you can tell people is that as little trauma is being mitigated as is possible, and not to live in fear, but to embrace Mother Gaia as she raises herself up in her ascension process.
Ditto.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Mother Sekhmet and Metatron.
Thank you.
I've got the talking stick.
Wilma.
Good evening, Mother. Thank you for letting me come to the call. And
good
my question
evening,
is
Wilma.
Just one.
Wilma.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My question is this. I hear these wonderful people telling about their experiences, one thing or another, and I do not seem to have any experiences, and I can't remember anything. My question to Mother is, am I doing anything in the ships? Or
yes.
Am I doomed?
Yes, you are doing a lot. And what you share in what you do is you work quite a bit with the angels and the masters on the various craft and working with the mediation, negotiation, as well as teaching the children the understanding, the greater realities of the universe in which we live, and we are all part of everything, and how we best serve Creator Source within ourselves is the understanding of sharing that love of how we all fit into this great story of infinite gratitude and love as we wake up to who we are, and as we put the stories of the past behind.
It's 4:44, everybody, as Mother says that.
The winds of change are here. Time to bury all the ancient stories of conflict and move into the grace of Satyuga, already here.
Mm-hmm.
So many have said, here, now, yet, the story's out there. Darth Vader Dick still dragging his suit around going, be afraid. Gotta let it go.
Thank you so much. I love you all.
Don't worry about it at all, Vilma, because the time will come when it will be just natural for this to occur. You may be walking in a field someday, and you might run right into a little unicorn or something. You never know. Keep your imagination flowing.
Oh, thank you so much. I love you guys.
Love you, Vilma.
I pass the talking stick.
Okay. Who's next, Mother? Deidre?
Earl.
Oh, Earl, I'm sorry.
Hello, Mother. And
Metatron and Tara.
Hello, Earl.
Hi.
Yes.
I went through the meditation this week and wow. I could see like galaxies and I was playing with energy and it felt like Play-Doh, like just so malleable and amazing. I never felt that before.
Earl, get a copy of that recording and play it again and again, and it will take you higher each time.
Yes, and you will get your gifts and abilities back, and you will fly.
Okay, good. I have one question for Mother. What am I doing on the ship? I know everyone's in the mood tonight to ask what they're doing, so...
What we see that you do is have a unique ability to work with the language of the heart and the animal kingdom. We see lots of various beings around you connected with the elementals and the fairy lord kingdom.
I do see fairies at night. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have spent much time in the, we want to say, Rivendell with Commander Elrond.
Mm.
And have listened to the Elvish songs and time to sing your heart's desires as we enter a new day.
Earl, I see you. I see you on Neptune, working with the animal kingdoms there.
I have one more question. I've had this story locked in my head for the last 15, 16 years. And did this race that I thought about, I don't know if it was planted there or what, but they're called the Renarians. I don't know if they're actually real or not. I just feel like there's a connection there.
I'm not sure, Beth, did you? I'm sorry, I don't know if I was able to comprehend the question fully. Earl,
The question was, I've had this story idea in, ETs and all that, but there's this one race that I don't know if they were planted in my brain or what. They're called the Lanarians. I don't know if they're real, but I've always felt connected to,
You speak of Lemuria?
Connected to Lemuria?
Maybe that's it.
You have been a great wizard on Lemuria, like many that worked with the elementals and the fairy lords and the angelic presences to bring peace to this great island nation.
Like a Pan energy, huh, Mother?
Yes.
Energy of Pan in you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will pass the talking stick. And thank you, Metatron and Mother and Tara.
Thank you so much, Earl.
James from Boston.
There you go. James, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Tyler, Mother, and Metatron. The nature of my question is this. What is my mission and my purpose on the ship? Hello?
We're giving Mother a chance and Metatron to respond.
Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I lost connection. Forgive me.
No. I do want to note, everybody, Mother and Metatron, it's 4:51, and I don't know if we have a little extra moment in time or not at the end of this call. So, commanders at the helm there, let us know because of the time.
We would just say what we see with you, James, is that the understanding you are part of the negotiation mediation folks who are in the process of bringing forth a way in which the communication can be shared with all groups of different families, how we can work with each other and remember our stories and heal any ancient timelines where there may have been something that went awry, a loose end that did not get completed. Now these stories coming full circle as we see each other for who we are as these divine different cultures that come under the banner of peace and love. As Astar has said, we are here on that mission. You are part of that in the sense of helping to bring peace to this planet. We see you are from Alpha Centauri, like Soltec. That is what comes to mind here. Are you familiar with Alpha Centauri, sir?
Yes, I am, Mother. I'm familiar with that.
Yes. I sure would tune into that. Only 4.1 light years from Earth. A short distance. 4 hours on a shuttlecraft at warp 2. can go there at night. Ask to be taken to the capital city on the very large, very large planet circling the main sun, and we will see you there.
Okay. My next question is this, Mother. Yesterday when I was meditating, I saw a violet wormhole tunnel, a violet flame. Can you explain that to me, what the significance of that?
You are witnessing wormholes opening up, vortexes, and, if you will, stargates. And there are rumors and stories out there since your crazy scientist playing around with the left-hand path. In the sense of something called CERN, Super Collider, where they want to play with particles. And, we would just say there are rumors about wormholes opening up in this dimensional vortex. And we will just say, as they may have been playing with these technologies of opening up wormholes that are unpredictable as fast as they open. There are folks that close them in the proper manner so that there are no rips in the time-space continuum. Maybe that is what you are witnessing in the sense that there are stargates, wormholes, white holes, as opposed to black holes opening.
My last final question is this, Mother. In my dream state, I see myself visiting President Obama and informing him and educating him on certain world affairs. Is this a reality or just a dream in my dream state?
No, this real, dude.
It's real.
Yes.
Yes. That's your negotiator status on the ships.
Yes.
You're holding that information and bringing intel.
Oh, my God. I am very humbled by this. Thank you.
And the Syrian commander wishes to listen to all of what you say. He is a ox in that understanding. He will take the time. Go slowly. Do few things. Do them well.
Simple joys are holy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yes, in that humility, that's a divine quality. Humility is sometimes mistaken for something more dormant-y, you know. Remember, it's a divine quality. And false humility is the worst thing to be playing right now with, because each one has such a great role to play in this moment. So thank you for taking that and hearing Mother, James. That was great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Deidre.
Thank you, Mother.
Okay, Deidre from Philly, line two, and it's 4:57.
Okay. My questions are very quick. I would like to say greetings to Mother and to Lord Metatron. And here are my two questions, and at that point I will hang up. One is, I attempted to merge with my avatar. When I did, I saw several other beings, and I did not know which one to merge with, so I want to be prepared to know what to do when that happens again. And my second brief question is, I'd like to know, too, if I can, what I am doing on the ships, or anything that you would like to tell me. And I will hang up and say thank you, everyone.
What we can say about you, Lady Master, is that you were with us in Karnak, in the ancient land of Kemet. The understanding of, you bring the wisdom of the reality of the ancient Moorish traditions, where all of the stories of our people will be told, how we can heal this divine Leela once and for all, as Brother Bobby put it last night, saying it is about the melanin and the energies. Huh, melanin? Global warming? Think about it. Gonna get very hot in the kitchen.
We'll have all the melanin we need. Now we just gotta know how to use it, right, Mother?
Yes.
Okay, I know that I didn't get an answer over there at the station. Do we have a few extra minutes to say goodbye and play a little music? Commander's at the station there. Don, are you there?
He says, hurry, it's time. We're out of time.
No, we have to go. We have to just say our goodbyes.
Okay, Lord Metatron, now, before you go, tell us what you want to say and be gentle with Lady Master as she comes back in there.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And keep your light focused on love and peace. Thank you.
Yes, remember to focus on peace. That is the biggest story of what Kundun came here to bring. That makes everything else happen. All we are saying is give peace a chance in the light of the most radiant one, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh,
Adonai Sabayot, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayot, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayot,
Eliyahu, 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 Yod He, Vod He, Yahweh, Adonai Basu, Baragas. Satnam, Namaste, everyone. Remember, the heart of Mother Earth beats very strongly, and from there we can create anything. She is asking, and we are answering. Namaste.
Namaste.